Chapter 4. Draco Malfoy and the Path of Introspection. Year 4.
What is this nonsense about Longbottom being your friend?
Draco was already standing upright, but he tried to hold himself straighter as his father narrowed his eyes. He could see his mother out of the corner of his eye. She was quiet, and her eyes were down. Typical.
Longbottom is a pureblood, and one that is in a prime position for information.
Draco hated that such a lie was believable. Neville wasn't someone to be used. When his father continued to stare, Draco tried not to fidget. Such an action would only prove it was all a farce.
What information do you hope to seek?
Draco shrugged once before explaining.
Any information could be of use later down the line.
It was hard to guess his father's mood. Not much escaped his cold demeanour.
All right.
It was voiced several minutes later.
You will pry for any information that can be used against Longbottom or any upcoming movements.
Draco would do no such thing, but his father didn't have to know that. At least not yet.
Now, I want to talk about your grades.
That caused Draco's eyes to widen. My grades have improved since last year. When his father sneered, he had to hide his shaking hands inside his robes.
Speak when you are directed to, and only then.
Draco nodded his head as his lips thinned, and the urge to flee mounted.
While they may have improved in certain areas, they are still not as high as they should be.
Draco closed his eyes. What did his father want from him? Perfect schools? He tried, relentlessly. Why couldn't that be enough? Why couldn't he be enough?
The Mudblood managed to excel in a third more exams than you.
She also took a third more classes than me, Draco ground out, hating that his father couldn't see the positive things he had accomplished. When his father stood up, Draco had to look away, already knowing what was to come. It wasn't fair. How could his father blame him for not doing more when the opportunity hadn't presented itself? Granger had McGonagall backing her. He didn't have that.
Why is it impossible for you to understand the simple concept of respect?
Respect? If Draco was into masochism, he would have pointed out that his father knew nothing about respect, but he wasn't feeling the inclination for pain.
You disappoint me, Draco.
That wasn't news. As Draco stared at his father, he wondered if there would ever be a day when he wanted his approval.
If you can't understand manners, then I will teach them to you.
Draco looked out the window as the sound of a wand leaving its sheath could be heard. The silence of the room was just as silent as his mother, and he wondered if that meant something. Was it wrong that he was proud of being his father's disappointment? The alternative meant a horror that Draco wasn't sure he would be able to see in the mirror every day. Disappointment. He could handle that. He welcomed the title. Draco looked around at all the different tents and smiled. His father may have had an ostentatious tent that cost more than most actual homes, but the ones everyone else had were better. They had character and felt homely.
Look, Draco whispered as he pointed towards a new row of tents. Those ones are red.
Neville laughed as he gestured to where one of the tents had miniature flying Quidditch players from the Bulgarian team whizzing around.
It's all so chaotic,
said Draco, as he turned his head in different directions, finding more sights that he loved.
I like it.
It's not like home,
Neville remarked, gesturing towards their own bleak tent where Draco's father had peacocks tied out front.
Peacocks?
Is Longbottom Manor any different? Neville snorted derisively.
My gran doesn't know how to be anything but a proper pureblood of her heritage.
At least she knew the right side to be on.
No.
Neville disagreed before waving to a few Gryffindor classmates.
My parents picked a side. My gran didn't want to pick at all. She would rather be in the sidelines judging everyone.
There was an appeal there. Draco was good at judging people, but he also liked the idea of not picking anything.
And you?
Neville paused to smile sadly.
I just want to make my parents proud.
That had Draco glaring at the dirt.
Perhaps as a child he had had the same notion. He would have done anything to have his father be proud. If my father is proud of me, then that means I've become someone else. Someone I won't be able to recognise in the mirror.
That isn't pride,
Neville said quietly as they paused. If you have to betray your own beliefs to meet someone else's standards, then that's not pride. You shouldn't have to be someone else to please him.
Draco looked away, noticing that a few people were wearing odd muggle clothes, ones that clashed and hurt his eyes to look at.
I've changed already, Neville. I used to believe in his words, used to want nothing more than his plan for me. I used to want that pride. What does that say about me?
Neville smiled softly as he threw an arm around Draco's shoulder.
That just means you are human.
Well, I don't like it. I don't want to be human. The sound of Neville's laughter had Draco smiling slightly. Maybe Neville was right. Making mistakes was a human thing to do. Maybe changing who he once was made him human.
Go!
Draco cried, pushing Neville out of the tent as he held out the emergency portkey.
Come with me,
Neville begged as he eyed the portkey warily. The screams of people nearby had Draco's heart pinching.
I can't. He expects me to be here.
Fuck his expectations,
Neville growled, eyes hardening.
You aren't safe here.
I'll be all right.
Draco hoped that was true. He wasn't sure what his father was doing, but the whole five yells were enough to give him a clue.
Draco.
Draco shook his head, not wanting to fight with Neville.
Please go. I need you to be safe. I'll be fine.
I'm not leaving you.
The hard edge to Neville's tone let Draco know it was probably his stupid Gryffindor stubbornness that was taking over. Draco reached up to jab to the portkey once.
I'm sorry, Draco whispered as he took a step back in time for the portkey to activate.
No!
Neville's yell was the last thing Draco heard before he straightened up and left the tent. The sound of bickering distracted Draco from the urge to vomit. He tore his eyes away from where the group of Death Eaters were levitating a Muggle family.
This is stupid.
The sound of Grainger's voice had Draco shaking his head. With his luck, it wasn't surprising that the moronic trio had found him.
Lumos.
I tripped over a tree root,
came Weasley's angry reply.
Not hard to do considering your large feet, Draco drawled as he watched them spin to him in surprise.
Piss off,
Weasley said as he brushed the dirt off his robes.
Language, Weasley,
Draco reprimanded distractedly as he looked back towards the campsite.
Best get out of here. You wouldn't want Granger spotted, would you?
Green light exploded outwards as it lit up the clearing briefly. The colour had Draco nervous and he hoped his father wouldn't kill the muggles.
What's that supposed to mean?
Granger asked in an offended tone.
They're after muggles.
Draco explained unnecessarily as he gestured to the scene past the trees.
Believe me, they aren't going to care that you are a witch.
Granger looked down to her wand doubtfully, as if that alone would save her from being discovered.
If you think they can't spot a muggle-born, then you aren't as smart as I thought.
Weasley held on to Granger's arm as he tried to pull her away.
I expect your father told you to hide,
Draco continued, pretending it was just a normal conversation and nothing was amiss.
And your father? Potter asked, eyes narrow. Where's he?
Draco looked back through the gap in the trees.
Doing what he's always done.
When Draco looked back at them, he clenched his fists at their expressions.
You don't get to judge me for his actions, and you certainly don't get to act as if I've done his crimes.
Potter's eyes softened, but Draco didn't care.
Fuck off.
He pushed past them as he headed away from the forest and the campsite.
Hey! Potter yelled behind him. It's dangerous out there. Better in danger than with you lot. At least if I'm harmed out here, it's my own actions responsible, and not repayment for my father's sins.
Malfoy, I'm...
Draco didn't stick around to hear the end of what Potter said. He was too angry. Angry with his father. Angry at the world. Angry at society. And angry at himself for caring what others thought.
He who must not be names marked, and what it means for you. Draco glared at the title of the prophet before chucking it out the train window, satisfied with the way it flew past.
I'm still mad at you, you know, Neville sniffed as he tended to a small plant.
Draco rolled his eyes, wondering how he was always labelled the dramatic one when Neville clearly deserved the title.
I'm so sorry I was a decent friend and made sure you were safe.
Neville chucked a clump of dirt at Draco as he tried not to laugh.
Ass, that's not a proper apology, and you know it. I was worried about you.
Draco couldn't help but smile. I know, and I know that I could have handled it differently. But at the time, I just wanted to do something, something right for once. I couldn't save the Muggles. I couldn't save anyone who got in their way. But you, I could save you. As Neville set the plant down, which suspiciously looked like a bulb of a Fenris tentacula, Draco braced himself for impact. Neville pulled Draco in for a hug and he held on firmly.
You were wrong,
Neville whispered.
You make a great friend.
Draco closed his eyes tightly, ever thankful he took a chance and put himself out there. Neville may be a brash Gryffindor, and an idiot sometimes, but he truly was a great friend. The sound of their compartment door sliding open had Draco peering up into amused, green eyes.
Why are you two always hugging? Jealous, Potter, Draco smirked as Neville pulled away to sit down.
Absolutely, Potter agreed easily. Neville gives the best hugs. It was accompanied with a wink, and it had Draco rolling his eyes.
What, Jerry?
Neville waved once before tending to his plant again.
Have you come to talk about the tournament?
Potter's brows furrowed before shaking his head. No, I came to apologise to Malfoy. But what tournament? Neville sent Draco a sharp look, and Draco studiously looked away as he pretended not to notice.
You don't know? Draco questioned. I assumed Weasley would have told you, considering his father works for the Ministry.
What apology? Neville spoke up.
I reckon you'll want to enter, Draco mused, aware of Neville's growing frustration.
Perhaps not. Death isn't your forte. Just the side effect of being who you are.
What?
Potter appeared concerned, and that was just a step away from the horror Draco wanted him to feel. It was rather fun baiting him.
What apology?
Neville asked louder. Potter rubbed the back of his neck before looking at Draco a little sheepishly.
I tried to apologise then, but you walked away.
Potter paused as he looked uncomfortable. Draco arched a brow, not in the mood to make it easy on him. I wasn't trying to be rude. It was hectic and nerve-wracking.
Yes, well, Death Eaters will do that for you, Draco drawled as he looked past Neville to the wall.
When Neville narrowed his eyes, it amused Draco to note that it spurred Potter on.
It was obvious that your father was one of them, or at least to me and...
What does that have to do with Draco?
Neville asked sharply, arms folded across his chest.
What his father does isn't there for you to make connections with Draco's thoughts or stance.
Potter nodded once.
I know, and that's what I'm apologising for.
Draco shrugged.
It's fine. It's not as if this is new to me. You aren't the first, and you certainly won't be the last.
When Potter's face crumpled, Draco tried to tell himself it didn't matter, but it did.
I'm sorry, Malfoy. You don't deserve that.
No, he doesn't,
Neville agreed, eyes hard. Draco's lips twitched. It was unusual to have a protector.
It's fine, Draco said more to Neville than Potter. I accept your apology. Just don't assume things, all right?
A look of relief filtered across Potter's face as the tension left his shoulders.
I won't.
There was a beat of silence before Potter spoke again. So what tournament?
Goodbye, Harry,
Neville said, shooing Potter out of the compartment and locking the door.
Well done, Neville, Draco congratulated as he stretched out over the bench.
Before Neville could appear too smug, Draco pointed towards the plant.
Isn't that against school rules?
Venomous tentacula were dangerous, partly why they had supervised contact with the plant in the greenhouses.
You're going to turn me in?
Neville smiled innocently, something Draco would never associate with him again.
No, I'm going to tell you that you are stupid, though.
Neville's offended gasp had Draco's shoulders shaking as he tried not to laugh.
There's no protection charms, Draco ticked off one finger. You don't have any vanishing spells guarding the base,
where it's the most noticeable tell of a venomous tentacular. Another finger. And you don't even have any glamours up. Draco shook his head in disappointment. I'm all for breaking the rules, but not if you're going to get caught. That's Gryffindor. That's what that is. When Neville laughed instead of getting offended, Draco knew they would remain friends for a long time.
Help me then,
Neville ordered as he pulled out his wand.
I reckon it's the job of a Slytherin to not only be the brains of the operation, but also an accomplice.
Yeah, they would remain friends, all right. Draco frowned as he fully woke up. He wasn't sure why he was awake. It had taken ages for the rest of the dorm to stop gossiping about the tribes of the tournament and actually go to bed. When he sat up and made contact with another face, Draco let out a startled scream. Large eyes widened before Snapper Fingers had his bedside curtains closing. Dobby! Draco whispered, half of the belief that he was seeing things, but the other half excited to see his friend again.
What's going on?
Grumbled Blaze. Draco placed his palm on Dobby's mouth when Dobby opened it as if to reply.
Nothing. Had a dream, that's all.
Someone snorted, but Draco didn't want to pull back the curtains to look.
Probably had a nightmare about shagging Potter,
came Theo's amused retort.
Oi!
Draco called as the rest of the dorm snickered.
That's not a nightmare,
Blaze argued, ignoring Draco completely.
Potter could probably be pretty fit in a few years.
Maybe.
Theo didn't seem too thrilled with the idea.
If I'm going to have dreams about shagging someone, I'd want it to be Parkinson at least. Have you seen her?
How about you all shut up? Draco demanded.
Besides,
Theo continued, and Draco let out a frustrated growl at being ignored.
We all know Draco has a thing for Potter.
Dobby's eyes blinked rapidly as he tilted his head. Draco shook his head, trying to deny the statement without voicing anything to the rest of them.
I require evidence, Draco said indignantly.
Oh boy,
Blaze said in a laugh that was full of disbelief.
I'll be awake all night if we were really to go there. Who's got the time?
Theo added.
Who cares at all?
Vincent spoke up for the first time, as Gregory grunted in agreement.
I hate all of you, Draco said, disdain clearly heard. See if I'm nice to you ever again.
Several guffaws had Draco sighing.
Remind me when you were nice,
Blaze asked in an annoying, amused tone.
I must have been absent.
He's nice to Potter,
Greg supplied in what Draco assumed was meant to be helpful.
Greg, that was best left unsaid, Draco said as the rest of the dorm laughed openly. And I am not nice to Potter.
Right,
Theo began, and Draco could hear the smile in his voice.
And I'm a Muggleborn.
Draco debated about whether to let it go, or to say something. When he could feel Dobby's frown against his palm, he knew his answer. It wouldn't be a bad thing if you were, you know. The silence that followed wasn't good. Draco knew that every word spoken could be a dagger to the back in a heartbeat. Four children of Death Eaters, and one that was a dark supporter, all rooming together meant that secrets were treasured and beliefs weren't mentioned. For even a whiff of anything could make it back to their parents.
That was best unsaid, Malfoy,
Theo warned, tone nearly regretful. But the line had been drawn, and Draco knew that he wasn't on the same side. When he could hear shuffling, Draco knew everyone was getting ready to fall back asleep. Dobby snapped his fingers, and Draco understood that a silencing charm was put up.
What are you doing here, Dobby?
Draco looked up and down Dobby, glad to see that his sack had been upgraded to something that was at least clean. Is that the Hogwarts crest? Draco pointed towards the emblem near the right shoulder. Dobby grinned widely with a happiness Draco hadn't ever seen before.
Dobby works for Dumbledore. It's close to Master Draco and Harry Potter.
Draco winced as he picked up the duvet. You can just call me Draco. I'm not your master, and I never should have been in the first place. When Draco peered up, Dobby was smiling warmly at him, and it had the tension evaporating.
Dobby misses Draco.
Draco pulled Dobby into a hug, amused by the surprised squeak that was released. I've missed you too. Was I at least the deciding factor before Potter in whether or not you came here? Dobby rolled his eyes before nodding.
Draco comes first, always.
It shouldn't have mattered what order it was, but Draco was relieved. He didn't want to share Dobby, but knew it wasn't up to him to dictate anything. It was juvenile to harp on the belief that he was more important to Dobby than Potter, but he couldn't help but revel in it.
Has Draco been well?
Observant eyes moved over Draco's face before narrowing suspiciously. I've been as well as I can be, Draco answered honestly, not wanting to hide anything. Still unsure of the world, but I'm trying.
That's all Draco can do.
Dobby's earnest answer had Draco smiling softly. Draco laid back before patting the side of the bed. Tell me about your work. Any gossip with the other house elves? Dobby laid on a spare pillow and turned his head to smile at Draco.
Oh!
Dobby clapped his hands excitedly.
So much gossip! Fyodor is lead house elf in the kitchens, but he's mean to Winky, so Dobby isn't liking him.
Winky? Draco asked, half yawning as he closed his eyes. Is this a new friend?
Yes. Dobby is Winky's friend.
Draco closed his eyes as he tried not to fall asleep, listening to Dobby regale him in tales of adventures that had been had while alone or searching for work.
Dobby swears the bird pecked him. Does Draco want to see the scar?
Maybe another time, Draco whispered as he pulled his duvet up higher. When I can remember to tease you for it.
Dobby takes it back. Harry Potter has been Dobby's favourite.
Draco snorted as another yawn took over.
Liar.
It was mumbled, but his awareness began to slip as sleep took over, and Draco wasn't sure what Dobby said in return, but he felt a warmth from his forehead briefly before there was nothing. Draco was just happy to have Dobby back. Moody was strange, always watching, lurking and genuinely creepy. Draco had hoped that the professor would at least be competent in lessons, but hope wasn't particularly high when one thought of their previous teachers. Only Lupin had been decent. It could be paranoia, but Draco was positive that Moody watched him with his magical eye. He felt the presence of being watched whenever near Moody, and it was unnerving. As Draco sat next to Neville in their first defence against the dark arts lesson of the year, his hope of Moody being sane ran out the window.
Do any of you know which curses are punished heavily by wizarding law?
Several hands shot up, but Draco was content, observing. When both of Moody's eyes settled on Draco, he sighed internally.
Malfoy?
Draco looked away, not wanting to play into any of it. The Imperious Curse.
You would know about that one.
Draco clenched his fingers tightly as he fought the urge to snap. It wouldn't do well to have detention already. Severus would kill him.
I don't know what you mean, Draco said innocently,
eyes wide as he adopted a look that had stopped working on Dobby when he'd been three.
Sir?
The last bit was added with a tiny smirk that he just couldn't hide. Moody narrowed his good eye, but didn't push the issue. Draco chalked it up as a win. When a demonstration of the curse was added to a spider, Draco felt his stomach knot. That wasn't right. Theory or spells could be practical. There was no need for it to be shown in such a manner.
Anyone else?
Neville raised his hand, and Draco wished that he wouldn't. Not with this lesson.
The Cruciatus Curse. The tremor to Neville's voice had Draco's eyes closing tightly, as hatred for his aunt flared strongly. He knew that it had happened when he had just been a baby, but that didn't change the empathy that welled up.
Moody's eyes, both of them, looked to Neville. Almost curiously as he asked,
Name's Longbottom, isn't it?
Neville nodded once, eyes downcast and lip trembling. When Moody reached into the jar and pulled out the second spider, Neville whimpered lowly. Draco glared at Moody, unsure why he was showing a demonstration in the first place.
Crucio!
The spider's leg curled up, in the same stance one might think it died, before it began twitching violently. Little bodies jerking the longer, the curse remained active. No sound came from the spider, but the pain was undeniable, and it had Draco nauseous. He looked to Neville and felt his heart breaking.
Stop it!
Draco cried out at the same time Granger did. Moody cleared his throat before placing the spider back inside the glass. Eyes wide, but not remorseful. Draco hated him. Hated everything about the lesson.
You don't need weapons to inflict pain. Not when the Chrysiartus curse is around.
It took all of Draco's patience not to snap when Moody waved away any concern and continued with the lesson.
And the last one. Granger.
Draco didn't look as she answered. He knew Potter would pull his attention. It always would.
Killing curse.
Neville made a disgusted noise as Moody pulled out the final spider. A sentiment Draco could relate to.
The last and worst of them all.
Moody nodded approvingly at her. The lopsided twist of his lips had Draco's fist clenching tightly. Draco closed his eyes when Moody raised his wand. Perhaps it was cowardice, but he couldn't do it. Couldn't watch the life leave the spider. The sound of several shocked cries had Draco sending a brief apology to the spider who died to satisfy a madman's cruel intentions.
It's not nice, Moody began easily,
as if he hadn't just used the killing curse in front of 24 fears.
There's no counter-curse and certainly no blocking it. Only one survivor of the curse, and he's sitting among you.
The sound of people swiveling in their seats to stare at Potter had Draco opening his eyes. Potter's face was red, but unseeing as he stared at the front of the room past Moody, hands clenched on the desk. Draco had never known hatred quite so volatile before. The mentality of it was simple, but to fully hate someone required them to matter, and that hadn't happened before. But as he listened to the thin excuses to why Moody chose to show the spells, he knew hatred strongly.
The use of one of those spells will earn a life sentence in Azkaban. You all could be up against them at one point in your life. I've been tasked with teaching you how to fight, and you need to prepare. You need constant vigilance.
Theory of the spell would have sufficed, Draco mumbled, unable to restrain himself. He could feel Moody's stare, but he wasn't going to look up and indulge it, not unless it was on his terms.
Have something to say, Mr. Malfoy?
The tone itself was a warning. That much was clear, but Draco couldn't stop himself. Draco huffed.
The use of those spells are illegal. The Ministry can't sanction Hogwarts itself, but the teachers can be held liable. You didn't offer any one of us an out. That's not allowed. I know my father didn't give permission for this. Your father?
Moody chuckled darkly.
I could tell you a lot about your father.
Draco narrowed his eyes. Nothing I don't already know, believe me.
Dumbledore approved of this lesson regardless of whatever you feel. This lesson is needed for your survival.
The Sensitivity Act of 1982 opposes any approval on the subject matter. We have the right to say no to any topic matter that might be harmful. He was paraphrasing, but the act was true, something that Moody and Dumbledore had conveniently overlooked.
There are survivors of these curses and families that were torn apart by them in this classroom, and you force them to watch. That is a violation of that act. Theory would have sufficed. This was unnecessary and cruel.
Moody's mouth twisted into either a smile or grimace. It was hard to tell with the scars.
Theory will never prepare you as thoroughly as a spell.
Risking someone's mental health for your own agenda. Draco stood up. Shaking his head slowly.
That's what you are doing. Malfoy, tell me about it in detention. I'm sure that's what you were going to say. I'll be talking to your head of house,
Moody yelled as Draco opened the door, not bothering to turn around.
See that you do.
The sound of the door closing cut off anything Moody would have said, and it was exactly what Draco wanted. Part of him wondered if he would regret his outburst. But the sounds of the other students and the look on Neville's face hardened his resolve. No, he wouldn't regret any of it. Except for leaving Neville alone. Draco waited out in the corridor for the lesson to end. If he used his time wisely, he could have explained it to Severus before Moody would get the opportunity. But Neville was more important. And Draco needed to be there for his friend. The moment Neville walked out of the classroom, Draco pulled him into a hug.
I'm all right.
Neville whispered, fingers digging into Draco's back.
Don't lie to me, begged Draco. It's hypocritical of me, and I know I said I'm fine when clearly I wasn't.
But Neville, I know that was hard for you. It would have been hard for anyone.
You know.
Neville tried to pull away, but Draco held on tight as he ignored the curious looks from the classmates. How could I not? She was my aunt. My father's proud of her crimes.
Your father's fucked up.
Draco laughed a little wetly. I agree with you there.
It's just...
Neville trailed off before righting himself as they began walking again.
I've always known what happened to them. Understood the symptoms of their condition. Knew the damage the spell had done. But now I've got an image.
An image of what could have happened. Neville's eyes filled with tears, and Draco was tempted to hug him again. But Neville had curled inwards as they stopped in Ona Cove.
I can't help but wonder if they looked like the spider. So defenseless and vulnerable. Despite having a wand, they ended up just like the spider with nothing stopping them. No one was there for them. They're not sane, Draco. They don't even know who I am. And I just... I hate it. I hate what happened. And I hate the casters. But I hate the spell just as much.
Draco blinked rapidly as he tried not to get too emotional. He wasn't sure what to say. Wasn't sure his input would be welcome, considering who his aunt was.
Unforgivable is a joke. It's more than that. And to have it in a classroom?
Neville shook his head angrily as face hardened.
I have to face the truth of what happened every single day. I should be allowed to have a peace of mind while here. Why is he allowed to dredge it all up and show such spells? I could have handled learning about them, could have handled the essays and the homework. But this was cruel.
Draco nodded as he placed an arm around Neville's shoulder and pulled him forward.
He's using his own experience to try and validate beliefs that aren't our own narrative, Draco tried to rationalize. I get the meaning behind it. We should be aware of things like that. Definitely need a more honest approach when it comes to defense. But this wasn't it.
Neville sighed, and Draco knew he would be all right. That didn't change Draco's anger with Moody, nor did it make him willing to let any of it go. I can send an owl to my father. He'll fight it. Neville grimaced before shaking his head.
Can we find someone else? Someone a little more trustworthy?
Snape? Draco offered just as he Neville glared at him. When Neville pinched his arm, Draco wondered why he bothered being nice at all.
Only as a last resort,
Neville conceded, frown in place. Draco knew Severus wasn't someone Neville wanted to talk to, let alone seek help from. All right, Draco agreed. Before they turned the corner, he looked back at the sensation of eyes on him and wasn't surprised to see Moody in the corridor near his classroom. It would be immature to flip him off, but Draco had never been concerned about his maturity levels. Detention sure would be an experience. Draco knocked on Severus's office door, aware of exactly what he would be facing once inside. Enter! As he walked in and took the offered seat, Draco tried to appear as innocent as possible.
That's not going to work, Severus admonished,
hands already folded across his chest.
On anyone. Had to try.
Draco shrugged with a small smirk.
I realise that I probably have a week's detention or more, but I'm not going to apologise to him. He's reckless and a giant wanker who shouldn't be teaching children.
Severus' lips quirked.
He deserves your respect regardless of how ill-fit he is to be a teacher.
Draco rolled his eyes, but he said nothing. His silence could be an agreement if interpreted correctly.
Your outburst brought several other students forward, all willing to talk to their parents.
Draco sighed, relief causing the tension to leave. It would have been difficult if he'd been the only one who was willing to fight it.
Any further lessons of the same nature will allow the students an alternative option available. The ministry has been notified, but I doubt they would do anything to him.
It was more than Draco had expected. No complaints would be coming from him.
You still have detention.
Figures, Draco mumbled darkly as he glared at the desk.
Strange, but it's only one night.
Draco's brows furrowed.
Moody's only given me one detention. Just one?
Severus nodded, and Draco got the impression he was just as suspicious.
Either he's being generous, or he knows exactly what he's doing, Severus continued,
tone making it clear which one he thought it was.
Did he talk to you?
Yes.
Severus nodded once.
He was under the assumption I would care. A surprised laugh escaped Draco as he leaned back in the chair.
I'm surprised you don't.
Severus looked away. The action let Draco know that something wasn't quite right.
Moody was the one who caught me right at the end of the war. Did you know that?
Draco blinked rapidly, unsure if it was an instant where Severus actually wanted to reply, or if he was just seeking someone to listen to him.
He doesn't trust easily, and that I can at least understand. But he's rigid in the all-or-nothing belief. He doesn't see shades of character or extenuating circumstances, and he certainly is blind to the notion of redemption.
A lot of people are, Draco whispered, mine going to Regulus' letters, as he once again wondered if his cousin had ever found a personal redemption. When Severus arched a brow, Draco flushed.
Do you think that people can change internally, but not on the outside?
Severus let out a noise of some kind, but Draco couldn't place it.
I think that sometimes it doesn't matter how deep the redemption looks. Everyone has things they regret doing, and sometimes those things aren't forgivable by those who felt the consequences. And that's all right. They have the right to not forgive.
Draco could tell that Severus was speaking from personal experience, and had had his back straightening. His godfather wasn't one to open up, and it was enough for Draco to really listen.
If someone was to change, truly change, then it wouldn't matter if other people saw the redemption. If it's done on the basis of the public opinion, then it's done poorly. Redemption isn't a glamour to put on. It is not something to parade and show to those who are distrusting.
Draco thought to Regulus's words and couldn't help but feel bitter that no one knew of Regulus's inner thoughts.
Is it wrong to want that validation? Wrong to want the attention? To be noticed for the change?
Severus's lip turned downward.
Wrong? No. I think it's human to want recognition, but it's not always needed.
Draco tried to let that sink in. Tried to let his own opinions in on the subject matter. But he couldn't help but wish that Regulus hadn't died without a single soul realizing his true intentions.
Did you find redemption?
He knew it was personal, but Draco wanted to know. Needed to hear from someone who was similar to Regulus in means of mistakes.
Severus laughed hollowly and somewhat bitterly. I don't know.
Severus looked down at the desk, eyes hard.
I would like to think so. I'll never receive redemption to the public eye. I know this, and I won't ever bother trying for them. But for me, I try. Even if I die without a normalized version of redemption, I did what I could in the end, and that's all I can do.
To try. That's what the crux of it was. Draco wasn't sure how his own path would go, but he would try, because that's all he could do. He just hoped it was worth it.
As far as the tensions went, Moody's was tame. It was no walk in the Forbidden Forest, so there was that.
Lines. Simple and confusing. Someone who could casually perform unforgivables but only make students do lines for detention? What an odd dichotomy. Even Filchus are far more creative than that. Perhaps not the best example.
Constant vigilance is required for safety.
Over and over, Draco wrote the bloody sentence, hoping that he could one day use constant vigilance as an excuse to hex Moody and the balls.
Do you really know what your father's capable of?
Draco clenched his jaw as he tried to ignore Moody.
Answer me or your detention will go past the hour.
I know what he's capable of, more so than you.
A harsh, barking laughter reverberated around the room, and it almost had Draco snapping his quill in response.
I highly doubt that.
The amusement in Moody's tone was what broke Draco's resolve.
Do you?
The triumph in Moody's eyes let Draco know that he'd been baited.
Do you really think that my father's a different person to me than he is to anyone else?
When Moody's eyes widened, Draco must have wanted to stop talking, but now that it had begun, he couldn't stop.
I know what my father is capable of. Not because I've read about it, not because he's told me, not because of the papers. I know what he's capable of because I am living it.
Draco threw his quill across the room as his breathing became laboured.
I am so sick of people seeing my father first. You judge me on his actions and his crimes. Your bloody eye watches me constantly as if I'm a threat or someone who has earned your suspicion. Instead of being a judgmental prick, how about you judge me for my own actions? Moody's brows arched at his insolence, but Draco had long ago given up self-control. Punish me for what I've done, not what you assume I will do. It's dangerous to allow those preconditioned for violence to go unsupervised. Draco scoffed. You're profiling me? Because my father was a criminal, then I must be as well. Shining role model you are. Statistics prove you're more likely to follow his behaviour. Draco eyed the clock before standing up with a flourish. And that's why you are wrong. You think you know circumstances better than those who are living it. You judge firmly without ever knowing all the facts. That's dangerous, especially for someone in power. I'm far more worried about what you can do to someone innocent than what my father might do with his money. You aren't done writing lines. Draco stopped at the door, not bothering to look at Moody longer than he had to. My hour is up. Until next time.
Draco would have been upset at the insinuation that he'd be in detention again. But counting on the type of person Moody was, the man was probably right.
When Moody announced that he would perform the Imperious Curse on them, Draco shook his head. That wasn't happening.
But that's... isn't that illegal?
Granger asked, a hesitance to a tone that Draco didn't usually hear often.
Dumbledore wants you to learn what it feels like,
Moody barked, his good eye on her and the magical one still on Draco.
If you rather learn when someone's putting it on you out of your control, then be my guest.
As Granger's face pinked up and she began muttering about making a point and not wanting to actually leave, Draco narrowed his eyes at Moody.
It's been suggested that you all have an alternative. If you rather be assigned reading material in the library, then the practical lesson need not apply to you.
Draco stood up, gathering his bag as a few students joined him. When Neville didn't stand, Draco looked at him in concern.
It's all right,
Neville whispered.
I'll be fine.
All right, Draco said reluctantly. Fine to be in the library when lessons are done. Neville smiled in agreement, a bite a little nervously. Draco walked towards the door as he looked over his shoulder, sending a glare towards Moody. It was a warning, but also because he felt like it. It wasn't until the third lesson in the Imperius Curse that more and more of his classmates joined him in the library. Potter claimed he could throw off the curse, so there's no reason to watch the rest of them try. Is it the spell itself that has you not wanting to try? Potter asked, pretending to be reading as Draco finished outlining his charms essay. It's the teacher.
You are mental if you think I'm allowing him inside my mind.
Potter frowned, confusion evident. He's not in your mind. He's just...
No. He's literally in your mind, Potter. Why do you think the spell is so dangerous?
He's focusing on a certain aspect that lets him control another person, which is the mind. The Imperious Curse breaches the mental walls of the mind and allows him to wipe what is there for a short time to ensure that the victim does not fight back. An uneasy silence settled around them as Potter's brows furrowed. Does that mean he can see thoughts in my mind? Like a mind reader? Draco laughed as he looked back to his essay.
No, that's legilimency. But the Imperious Curse is a form of legilimency. Just not as invasive.
Legilimency? The lack of knowledge caused Draco to sigh in annoyance. Why was there no class for students who grew up in Muggle homes? Vital information was passed up that could have been useful before now.
Legilimency is used to infiltrate the mind. It's a spell that allows the user entry. If there are no defences, a legilimence can break open any secret, see into every dream, and learn valuable information.
Defences? Draco rolled his eyes before putting away his homework. Clearly it wouldn't get done.
Occlumency. It's a mean of protecting the mind from legilimency.
The knowledge of something to help seemed to calm Potter. He supposed discovering for the first time that someone could break open the mind would be troubling. And the Imperious Curse and legilimency are related how?
Well, Draco began, as he lifted his hands airily,
They both deal in the mind. The Imperius curse is entering the mind. It's accessing a part of you and allowing the caster to control you for a limited time. I'm not saying the two are identical, but the Imperius curse is a branch of the same magic as Legilimency. Would Occlumency help against the Imperius curse? Potter wondered, worrying his lip in the process. Absolutely, but it's not a requirement. You can be good at repelling the Imperius curse and be bad at Occlumency. Since the Imperius curse is a branch and not the same, it's all probable. Potter cocked his head to the side as he regarded Draco closely. Do you know Occlumency? Is that why you're okay without the lesson? I know some Occlumency. The calming methods, clearing the mind, and what to do if the mind is already infiltrated. But the defense part of Occlumency needs practice. Did your parents teach you? Draco snorted harshly. Merlin, no. Why do you think I learned it in the first place? I don't under... Potter's previous furrowed brow mellowed as his face shuttered. Draco looked away, not wanting to see pity. I'm teaching myself, Draco whispered to change the subject. Hard to do, but I'll get there. Eventually. Potter cleared his throat, but before he could say anything, a flutter of wings had them looking up in time to see an owl land in front of Draco. Draco took a shaky breath as he stared at the familiar envelope. Everything fell away as he focused on another piece of his cousin. Draco ignored Potter as he ripped open the letter, fingers just as shaky as his breathing. Dear cousin, do you ever wonder how long life will last? Not just in the present, but in general? Time seems so insignificant in day-to-day matters. But when one stops to think about it, time moves so quickly. My childhood both seems so far away and yet so current. Is it the experiences I learned that make it hard to forget, hard to move on from? When the hourglass stops, I wonder if I will look back on my life and think it was worth it. I wonder if when the last sand falls, if my time was well spent. I know what I'd like to say. I would like to think that my life means something, but I fear that it doesn't. My existence has harmed so many others, and I think that they could have been saved if it had not been for my presence. Logically, I realise that if I were not there, another Death Eater would have handled the task, but at least my crime wouldn't have been performed by me. What truly is my existence, if all it has brought is nothing but torment for others? How can I matter when nothing I have done is productive? And I don't mean that in a career path. I mean productive and simple human decency. Who am I if not a monster? A monster who took time for granted. One that chose to be selfish while humanity suffered at my own hands. I suppose some will say that there's always time to change. Time to be someone else. But that isn't in the stars for me. I don't think anything I do in life will ever make up for who I chose to be. Is it childish to wish that I could go back and do it all over again? Make better choices? Choose better friends? Exist for others instead of myself? I don't know. I think no matter how life went, I would always be the bad one. The one to make mistakes. The one to learn just a little too late to make a difference. The one to know who I could have been if I'd had the chance. If I could, I might take a time turner and choose to never exist. But would that do any good? Would my absence change a single thing, or would it cause someone else to rise up in my place? My time is running out. I have no explanation for why I believe that, but there's an unsettling vibe to the atmosphere, and I know that I won't survive it. At this point, I am unsure if it will be my own doing or someone else's. Either way, I will leave this world. I just hope that I can do one thing, one good act in my entire life. If that is these letters, then I'll take it. If it's helping you in any way, then I'll grasp it. The longer I write, the more I wonder if it will mean something to you. Sometimes I think I am speaking into a void and no one can hear me. I want so desperately to be understood that I'm writing to someone who I'll never get a chance to tell it all to. What does that say about me? Does it show an instability that needs help, or does it show the true mark of desperation? Is it sad that that is the pill?
that I don't have to face your scrutiny or the judgment I have already seen? A judgment that is earned, I do not deny that.
Life is so lonely. I know I have said that before, but I can't shake the hollow emptiness that surrounds me. Time makes that loneliness bitter as it melts into something I can't think about. I don't know what my place in life is anymore. I go through the motions of a day that I can't stand. I go through life both wishing and hating that time would run out quicker. I will welcome death as much as I can, really. Don't misunderstand my intentions. I am not leaving this world in fear of life. When I leave this world, it will be with the knowledge that I can do better in another time, or in another world. There is nothing I can gain while my life is attached to the Dark Lord. There is no happy ending while my magic is bound in servitude to someone like that. I have no free will anymore. Sometimes I wonder if I ever did. Is it free will if it's chosen for you? My dubious upbringing makes me wonder how informed I truly was. Was there another choice? Could I have been someone else? Sirius. He had the same upbringing, the same teaching methods, and the same punishments. If he could choose his own life, then I suppose there's no complaints or excuses for me. No end for me will be good. No end for the Dark Lord will coincide with a happy ending for me. I will go down before his end, that I am positive of, but it will be with the belief that he is wrong. I will die knowing that the Dark Lord is an evil we all should fight against. Make no mistake, I will leave this world without any notion of his beliefs. I will find my own inner truth, even if no one but you will hear of it. That's all I could ask for anyway. I just hope that I can meet you before the end. Even if you won't remember it, even if you are just a baby. That time is approaching, and even if I don't see you, know that you, dear cousin, mean a lot to me. The ear when no one wanted to listen. I am forever grateful for the moments I get to pour pieces of myself out to you. If only I could hear your side. I know I would like you, whoever you choose to be. Even if you walk down the wrong path or make many mistakes, you will always be worth it to me. Always be someone I will be proud of. You are always in my thoughts. Take care. Love, Regulus. Draco blinked rapidly as his eyes began to sting. He both hated and loved the letters from Regulus. It was a moment in time. One that he couldn't be a part of no matter how much he wished things could be different. Part of him could imagine the loneliness that Regulus faced. It had taken a lot of courage on Draco's part to approach Neville. Even with Dobby's friendship, life had been lonely. That, coupled with not knowing what to do when it came to his father, created a dissociation with other students. They got to be young and carefree. None of them had to worry about their future in such stark terms. And he envied them, might even hate them. But none of that was the same pain as Regulus. Some people would look at Regulus's mistakes and think the pain was justified, that it was his own fault. But that's not what growth was about. Mistakes were a part of life, and no one is sin-free. No one. If Regulus could learn from his mistakes, then wasn't that proof that he could have redemption? Draco sighed as his mind argued that Regulus's continued status and actions as a Death Eater overpowered any mental awareness over Regulus's actions. Knowing you are wrong, but doing it anyway, wasn't proof of change. But could Regulus do anything? It wasn't as if the Dark Lord would have allowed a Death Eater with a heart of gold under his supervision. Perhaps there was nothing for Regulus to do. The grey mole standing had him uncomfortable. Draco knew that no matter who looked at Regulus or judged him, that he himself would always admire his cousin. Regulus had been someone who knew they made mistakes and aimed to teach the next generation, even if it was only one person. A single soul who took the chance that was offered and ran with it. And Draco certainly was going to take that chance. It was a gift. Regulus was offering Draco a chance to be someone else. For once, Draco knew that no matter what happened in the future, he would never follow in Regulus's steps. He couldn't, not with everything laid before him. Sure, the epiphany wasn't surprising. He had known for years that that was where his mind was leaning. But the older he got, the more he was just done. Fed up with the wondering, fed up with the stares and the looks. If he wanted people to stop seeing his father first when they looked at him, then he needed to give them a reason not to.
Draco needed to show them who he was. Someone they wouldn't doubt. Someone they could look at and only see Draco. Not the Malfoy heir. Not Lucius's son. No. They would see Draco Malfoy, and that would be it. He just had to figure out how exactly to do that. As Draco folded the letter, he couldn't help but run his free hand through his hair in aggravation. Why was it all so complicated? Couldn't choosing the right path be easy? A noise brought Draco to the realization that he'd forgotten about Potter. Something hard to do. Potter's eyes were narrowed on the letter in Draco's hand, and he knew that would raise questions. It always would when it came to Potter, the bloody nuisance. "Is it hard knowing who you are?" Draco asked quietly.
Potter jerked his head slightly, clearly not expecting the question.
"I don't know if I know who I am," Otto admitted, voice barely above a whisper. "I know what people think I am, and I know what some people expect me to be. But myself, I don't know if I want to know." Draco hummed curiously. "What do you mean?" There was a pause before Potter smiled slightly. "I want to take my time. I want to be able to know who I am in my 20s, 30s, or even my 40s. I don't want to know it all right now. I want to discover who I am slowly, but steadily increasing as I get older." "That sounds nice," Draco added, tone wistful. Potter tapped his fingers on the table restlessly. "I want to make mistakes, and I want to learn from them. I want to live with no expectations and no fear what other people think." Draco knew the sound of a dream when he heard it. "That's what you want, but not what you get, right?" A bitter smile poured at Potter's lips. "I like to think that I would get it all, but I don't know. I don't think anyone does. I know that who I am makes people think they own parts of me. I'm watched. I know that people don't think I can see it, but I do. I know that they all have an opinion on who I'm supposed to be, but I don't remember anyone ever asking me that. Funny how that works." Before Draco could try and come up with something witty or slightly comforting to say, Potter looked up at him through his eyelashes, and suddenly he couldn't remember his line of thought. "You're the first one to ever want to know." Draco looked down, and the heat to his cheeks had him angry at himself. "Why did you want to know?" Potter asked, and Draco could have kissed him for the subject change.
Draco bit his lip as he tried to decide if letting Potter in was a good idea. He couldn't tell anyone about Regulus, but he could still say some things.
"I know who I want to be," Draco admitted, eyes on the table. "I also know who I don't want to be."
He was thankful that Potter stayed quiet while he collected his thoughts. It was difficult admitting things that had always stayed internal.
"I know who I am expected to be, and I know the repercussions of all of it. None of the options are consequence-free. Some choices leave me miserable, but well off in social gain. Some leave me vulnerable, but unrestricted in life. Some weigh down all senses of who I am, but grant me powerful connections. Some lose their familial bonds, but I gain independence along the way." Draco threw his hands in the air, as lost as his mind. "There's so many choices in who I could be, and I just want to know if I'm making the right one." "Do any of the options lead you to happiness?" Potter asked quietly. Draco laughed somewhat hysterically. "Potter, can you ever have something you've never experienced?" When Potter's eyes closed briefly, Draco knew that he understood, at least the gist of it. "Happiness is not part of the equation," Draco said bitterly. "If I find it along the way, then great, but it's low on what I consider important." "Maybe," Potter began hesitantly, "maybe you should trust your gut. That's what I do when I don't know what to do." Draco laughed as he rolled his eyes. "That's so Gryffindor of you." When Potter grinned, Draco had to look away, not used to someone other than Neville being so open. "I'm sure whatever choice you decide to make, Malfoy, will be the right one for you. No one else. Because you chose it." Draco looked at Regulus's letter, and then back to Potter's face. He was pretty sure they would have gotten along as well, if one could overlook the Gryffindor status. "Thank you," whispered Draco as he stood up to leave. "Poor Gryffindor with a hero complex. You're not so bad."
You say the sweetest things. Draco laughed as he grabbed his bag and began to walk away. For you, Potter, I always will. Perhaps Potter was right. The choice itself didn't matter as much as Draco being the one to decide did. As long as he was the deciding factor, then it was the right choice. As Draco rounded the corner and stopped near Snape's closed classroom, he wondered if perhaps he should have stayed in bed instead. Granger was shaking a tin can, and each passing moment, her hair appeared to grow bushier and wilder. Whatever she was selling, he wanted no part of it.
"Just give her a second and she'll shut up,"
Finnegan grumbled loud enough for everyone else in the hall to hear.
"The monetary support goes a long way,"
Granger admitted reluctantly.
"But I need people to listen too."
Draco tried to blend into the background, but unfortunately Pansy noticed him, and she loudly exclaimed, "Can you believe this, Draco? Granger here has started a club for house elves." "A club?" Draco asked, annoyed that he cared enough to speak up. Granger huffed as she placed the curl behind her hair. "It's not a club, per se.
SPEW is a society for the promotion of elvish welfare."
Draco arched a brow. "And what exactly does your movement do?"
"House elves have been enslaved for centuries, and I aim to bring light to their suffering."
Draco hummed as he crossed his arms. "How exactly are you planning to do that?" Granger stood up straight as her eyes lit up. He got the impression no one had stopped to consider her words.
"By getting the house elves to fight back. Get them to demand compensation, wages and equal treatment."
Several students laughed derisively, but that only seemed to spur Granger's resolve further. "That's not going to work," Draco spoke before she could start a long-winded lecture. Granger glared, somewhat betrayed as she tensed.
"And why is that? Because you don't think I can do it? Because you think they don't want freedom? Well, they are conditioned to think so."
"Oh, I agree," Draco admitted, keenly aware of his fellow Slytherins staring at him. Granger sputtered slightly.
"But if you agree, then why..."
Draco held up a hand as he tried to avoid looking at Potter, who he knew was giving him his full attention. "They are conditioned to thinking that they don't want freedom. But expecting them to fight back against the oppression they've always known isn't going to work. You need to tackle the law aspect first. You can't just expect house elves to see your plans as a gift when you're taking away all they have ever known."
"But they deserve freedom,"
Granger pressed, eyes nearly pleading. Draco sighed heavily. "Freedom has always been a punishment, Granger. They've lived their whole lives with the threat of freedom hanging over their heads. You start telling house elves that you're going to make it so that they have the very thing they have feared for so long, you are going to have a disaster on your hands."
"But freedom doesn't have to be scary,"
Granger argued hotly.
"They could do a number of things and get paid for it. Their time could be well spent without having to be ordered around and demeaned at every opportunity."
"What skills are you expecting them to take to these jobs?" Draco asked, wishing she would understand. "They have no training, no guidelines to follow. They don't have any means to provide for themselves outside of their masters. But do you expect them to rise up and revolt, leaving behind their flimsy security?"
"So I should do nothing?"
Granger shook her head quickly.
"I can't see their suffering and just accept it."
"I'm not saying do nothing," Draco said softly. "You can't expect to tell them that they are victims and then get upset when they choose not to see it your way. What your Spew Club has is a good message, but that's all it is. A message. You have the end product, but nothing set up to achieve that goal." Draco paused as he bit his lip. "You need a plan, not just a message. One club isn't enough to spark a movement. Take it to those who can do something about it. Take it to the ones who make the laws."
"And if they won't help?"
"Then do it for them. You're smart. I'm sure the Ministry could use employees who have a message, and when you can, change the laws yourself. Be the change you are preaching." When Granger looked to the ground and her shoulders slump, Draco almost felt bad. "It's a good message, you just aren't quite there yet." Granger smiled sadly as she clutched the tin can to her chest. "If it helps, you'll have my support for when you do figure it all out."
A mischievous look entered her eyes, and he wondered if he'd somehow made a mistake.
I guess that means you'll be needing this.
Granger handed Draco a badge with SPEW on it. Draco rolled his eyes before he pinned the badge to his robes. Consider a name change in the future? Spew is horrid.
It's not Spew,
Granger argued, as Weasley and Potter laughed. As Draco turned around towards the now open door, he ignored Snape's arched brows, ignored the narrow gazes of his classmates, and ignored his surroundings as he made his way towards his seat. It wasn't smart to be open with his opinions, but Draco was just tired. Tired of repressing everything. If Spew got back to his father, then oh well. That would be a battle for another day.
Harry Potter! Draco's mouth parted in surprise. Something he wasn't proud of. As whispers and angry cries broke out across the great hall, he only had eyes for Potter. Potter's expression was horrified, stunned, and gobsmacked. That alone had something unsettling curl inside of Draco. That wasn't the face of someone who entered on their own. That wasn't someone who was proud to break the rules. That was the face of someone who'd been blindsided. Potter hadn't entered. When Granger had to shove Potter to get moving, Draco knew something wasn't right. Potter was a terrible actor, and the numb expression on his face was real. If Potter hadn't entered his name, then who did?
People are fickle. That much was clear as Draco watched Potter become a social pariah from everyone but his own house. Potter normally held the respect of most students, but they all believed in falsity so easily. It was disgusting, really. Where was free thought? Why did people conform so easily to their neighbour? When a chunk of people believe in something, why should that be the only basis for others to concede? The evidence against Potter wasn't exactly promising. Potter was a rule breaker. But to get past Dumbledore's own spells? Yeah, that wasn't in his expertise. And that should have been obvious to everyone else. Not to mention, Potter wasn't one to do things selfishly. So why was that forgotten in the haste to condemn? Why make Potter the enemy? Because it's easier to blame than to dig deeper? Because word of mouth somehow becomes more reliable than the actual truth? Draco wasn't sure what to think when it came to the whole situation. But the only clear thing was that Potter wasn't faring well. Potter hardly smiled anymore. A rift had formed with Weasley. And even Granger appeared to be fraying as she took on a mediator role.
Being infamous compared to Potter being famous had given Draco plenty of experience in how the public views people negatively. That was something he would prefer Potter not to face. But as he looked towards the Gryffindor table and watched Potter stab his potatoes viciously with a fork, he knew that it was already too late for that.
Humanity is flawed, Draco announced as he plopped down next to Potter near the Black Lake.
Is this supposed to be comforting? Potter retorted, an amused smile lifting the corner of one lip.
I'd like to think so. Draco shrugged once before picking up a rock and chucking it in the lake. The knowledge that all of humanity is flawed lets us know that we are all the same in that aspect. You'll never find someone who is perfect. They don't exist. But their flaws are what makes them stand out.
Sometimes negatively, Potter argued as he theatrically skipped a rock, as if showing the proper technique.
What you see as a negative isn't the same as what I might see. Just because some people choose to condemn what they don't know, doesn't mean that the rest of us will.
Flaws don't have to have an underlying morality to matter.
It's okay to be flawed. It's okay to have aspects of yourself that other people don't agree with. But when the majority of those that see it as a negative pile up, then the few who see it as a positive are drowned out, Potter said quietly, no longer skipping rocks and just holding them tightly.
Only if you let them, Draco argued. If you allow those voices the power to sway your opinion of yourself, then those who are drowning won't ever make a difference. Why silence those who wish to help? Doing so only raises the negativity.
Easier said than done, said Potter almost wistfully. I hear what you are saying, and I appreciate it, but I don't know how to use any of it.
Giving advice is far easier than to take it, Draco mused thoughtfully. I don't know how to help you there. I think support plays a vital role. If you have an outlet to go to, then it doesn't matter what the rest of the world is saying. Potter looked down, frowned in place and fingers clenched. I don't have much of a support system lately. Draco had never gotten along with Weasley. Didn't particularly like him, but seeing Potter's obvious hurt had Draco wishing he could fix it. And wasn't that a disturbing notion? I'm not much for support, Draco began hesitantly. But I can listen well, and even offer overbearing opinions at any given time. Potter smiled warmly at Draco. Sounds like you know a lot about support to me. Well, just don't get used to it. Draco shoved Potter lightly as he stared towards the lake and wondered why it was easy to talk so openly with Potter. It shouldn't be like that. It didn't make much sense. But as Potter hummed a tune Draco didn't recognise and began skipping rocks again, he realised that the reasons didn't matter. All that mattered was the company. It took several attempts just to get Draco mentally prepared. He wasn't entirely sure why he was doing it. It wasn't as if it would be appreciated by anyone, and it would only produce a headache. Can I sit here? Draco asked without really caring for an answer.
No.
Weasley clenched his jaw as Draco ignored him and sat down anyway. They were nearing the end of a Care of Magical Creatures class. Most of the classmates were hiding from the blast in discreets, and it made the chance of a discussion possible.
I was always jealous of you.
Weasley jerked on the log they were sitting on.
What?
Draco ignored the incredulous look as he got to the crux of Weasley's problem, and maybe his own too.
Well, perhaps it's more of your family than you. There's so many of you.
When Weasley frowned, Draco held up a hand.
I don't mean that negatively. I'm an only child. A child born solely for my parents to have an heir. If you think I matter to them in means of who I am, then you would be mistaken.
Weasley's frown deepened, but Draco wasn't sure what it meant.
Your parents love you, Draco whispered as he looked to his hands. I've seen the way they look at you and your siblings. Seen the way they kiss you goodbye or hug you when the school year ends. It was embarrassing to admit any of it. I don't have that. I used to wonder why I couldn't. Why me? But I don't think I'll ever have an answer to that. Some people are born lucky and others aren't. It's just the way life goes.
You think I'm lucky?
Weasley scoffed harshly.
I have to compete for attention. There are a lot of us, and that's a negative most days. You don't know what it's like to feel like you would never match up to an older sibling. To feel as if nothing you do will be on the same level. I have their love, but that's all I have. We struggle more than my parents would like me to believe.
I don't know what it's like to struggle financially, Draco admitted as his brows furrowed. But I would give my entire inheritance to have what you have. I would spend any amount of money that I possess if it meant that my parents could look at me and be proud. Proud of who I am. Just once, Weasley. I just want to be told that they love me. Just once.
Weasley's face twisted with an emotion that Draco wasn't sure he could recognise. Maybe people want what they don't have, Draco continued, uncomfortable with the way Weasley watched him. It's a human thing to do, I think.
You can't buy love,
Weasley said.
No, you can't.
Love won't give you financial security.
No, it won't, Draco agreed.
Looks like we both have it rough.
Draco snorted. I suppose so. He bit his lip before seeking out Potter, who was watching them closely. This isn't my place, but Potter would give up his money to have what you have too. Weasley looked to the ground as his face reddened slightly.
I know.
Attention to those who don't want it never sounds as good to those who seek it.
Have you been spending time with Trelawney?
A startled laugh left Draco as he shook his head. I suppose that does sound a bit vague.
I've been a right prat,
Weasley said quietly, a tinge of sadness overtaking his tone.
Perhaps, but that's not my place to judge.
Your emotions, however erratic they may be, are still valid.
What happened to you?
Before Draco could ask what he meant, Weasley continued.
You never used to be so calm or open, and definitely never so wise.
You never knew me, Weasley, Draco pointed out as he looked away. But I came in contact with someone who taught me how to be better, and I'm trying to listen.
This might not mean anything to you, but I can see a difference, and I think it suits you.
Draco couldn't help but smile. It does mean something to me. Thank you.
Harry notices too.
When Draco looked up, he caught a mischievous look in Weasley's eyes, and that worried him. Why would I care what Potter thinks? Weasley snorted and he shook his head.
Right. I don't know how you can be so wise one minute and then so stupid the next.
Excuse you? Draco placed his hands on his hips as he glared at Weasley.
I think you do care what Harry thinks. I think you care far more than you want to believe.
Draco looked to his hands, unwilling to see any triumph in Weasley's eyes when his cheeks felt hotter. I don't know what you mean.
That's all right. You don't have to own up to anything. Just think about it.
Why should I? Draco demanded, comfortable enough to glare again. Weasley glanced towards Potter, who was talking with Granger, both who were looking in their direction.
If I have to explain it to you, then you aren't ready to hear it.
Now who has been spending too much time with Trelawney? Draco drawled, smirking when Weasley laughed. Weasley stood up, a small smile on his face.
I've got some mistakes to mend, but thank you, Malfoy. You aren't so bad.
I know. The sound of Weasley laughing as he walked away was enough for Draco to realise he had done well. He had gotten involved in issues that had nothing to do with him, and spoke when unneeded. But still, he had helped, and that was what he'd set out to do. When Potter hugged Weasley tightly, Draco knew he was smiling stupidly, but he couldn't have stopped if he tried. Congratulations, Potter, Draco said as he stopped in front of the golden trio. You didn't die.
Watching Potter go up against a dragon had been an experience Draco never expected to see, nor did he want to see it again. The try was the tournament was archaic and dangerous. Whoever wanted to revive was an utter moron.
Is the bar set that low? Potter returned, a smile already taking over. If your expectations aren't high, then nothing can disappoint you. Spoking like someone who doesn't put out the maximum effort. Draco shook his head as Weasley mumbled something about flirting and why they should do it on their own time. Potter cleared his throat as he glared at Weasley. Thank you, though, for the congratulations. Awkward. It was all very awkward, and Draco couldn't understand why that would be.
This is painful,
Weasley whispered loudly.
Fun,
Granger hissed with an accompanied nudge. Well, Draco looked around as he wished he hadn't come over in the first place. I'm going to go, but, I guess I'll see you around? Yeah. Potter smiled as he rubbed the back of his neck. See you around, Malfoy. Oh, Merlin. Draco was never doing that again.
You need to work on your flirting, mate.
Weasley's voice carried after Draco, and he was thankful no one could see the heat to his cheeks. I wasn't flirting.
Obviously.
Weasley snorted, mirth overpowering Potter's objections. Stupid Weasleys and their wrong opinions. Potter hadn't been flirting. He wasn't entirely sure what they'd been doing, but flirting wasn't one of them. Right? Yule Ball. Draco was positive it was a horrible idea. What did dancing matter in the scheme of the tournament? Seemed like an excuse to dress up and act like school unity existed. It was strange going from someone most people left alone to someone that they wanted to take to the ball. Sure, it was only other Slytherins, but Draco's declining reputation had given him an assumption that he would be left alone. Draco's eyes widened when Pansy walked towards him. He'd been avoiding her since the announcement of the ball. It wasn't that he disliked her. No, actually that was it. He didn't like her. Pansy could be entertaining when she wasn't bullying other students, but her interest in him meant they rarely talked. She would stare and he would flounder for something to either say or give an excuse to leave. He turned around and headed back through the open doors as he ignored his growling stomach. No dinner was better than the awkward refusal Draco would have to give her. As he rounded the corner, he almost walked into Potter.
"Sorry," Draco apologized. "Didn't expect anyone to be there."
Potter rubbed the back of his neck in a gesture Draco knew meant that he was nervous. "I was actually looking for you."
"Were you?"
Draco arched a brow and Potter looked away. "Hermione has been bugging me for weeks, and even Ron has started to notice."
"Notice what?"
"And it's not like I needed the push, really. I would have done it on my own."
"Done what?"
"It's just this whole ball has been getting on my nerves. Suddenly every tosser who was glaring at me last month is now batting their eyelashes at me. It's not attractive either. I think a few look like they might have an eye condition. But Ron says it's not nice to ask that kind of thing, so I didn't say anything."
"Potter." Draco was amused the longer Potter rambled. It was almost endearing. "And I noticed that a few people approached you too, which I get. I had to ask Neville if you said yes to any of them, after he stopped laughing at me, which is rather rude. I found out that he said no, which I guess is a good thing, although that had me nervous because..."
"Potter?"
It came out breathless, but Draco couldn't help that as he began to understand. "Are you asking me to go to the ball with you?" Potter nodded several times, hard enough to have his unruly hair falling forwards.
"I'd like to."
"You'd like to ask me?" Draco teased, enjoying the way Potter appeared timid. Something he'd never seen when it came to him. "Or you'd like to go with me?"
"Both."
Potter smiled somewhat shyly, and Draco realized exactly what Weasley meant.
Draco looked down as his emotions cycled through many feelings. He wanted to say yes. Wanted to go with Potter. But could he do that? That was a bold statement. There would be no way to keep that quiet. His father would find out, and Draco wasn't sure he was ready to face his parents.
"Unless you don't want to go?" Potter's voice was unsure, and that had Draco's stomach sinking.
"No, I do," he promised, peering up into worried green eyes. "It's just... my father will find out. If we do this, I don't know if I can go back. I won't be able to keep up a facade, not with the evidence against everything else."
"If..." What a bit of slip before sighing. "If you aren't ready for that, that's okay. I can..."
"No."
Draco shook his head as he held up his hands, stalling whatever Potter might take back. "I want to go with you." He felt his cheeks heat up, but the truth of the statement rang through. It didn't matter if things changed. Draco wanted it. Wanted one night to himself. One night where he didn't have to think about his future, his father, or anyone else. "Are you sure?" Of course Potter was still worried. The idiot didn't know when to be selfish. "Because we can always..."
"Will you go to the ball with me?" Draco interrupted, his smile growing as Potter's eyes sparkled.
"That was my line. You took too long." Potter grinned too wide to be attractive, but Draco didn't care, not when he hadn't seen something so bright before.
"Yes, I'd love to," Potter breathed, a smile still in place.
"Can we..." Draco cut off as he shook his head.
"Yes?"
The patience to Potter's tone was the only thing that kept Draco from changing the subject.
"Can we leave it all behind? Forget everything else. I just want..."
Draco knew he was blushing, but there wasn't anything he could do about it.
"I just want to have a memorable night with you."
Potter smiled softly, a tender expression that had Draco feeling unworthy.
"Forget who we are. I'll just be Harry, and you can just be Draco."
The sound of his name falling from Potter's lips had Draco's own parting in surprise.
"Yes, please."
Potter leaned forward and whispered,
"I'd like that. The ball can be a night for ourselves."
Before he could agree, Potter kissed Draco's cheek once before stepping back. Potter was blushing, and that had Draco secure in his own embarrassment. "Goodbye, Malfoy." Draco waited until Potter was already gone, before softly mumbling, "Bye, Harry." The Yule Ball suddenly didn't seem so bad.
So,
Neville began in a tone that had Draco wishing he was anywhere else.
I was asking about you.
There was a smug aura to Neville, and Draco hated it.
Oh?
Neville trailed off, suggestively, but Draco ignored that and examined his nails.
Did he find you?
Possibly. Neville glared darkly.
Draco, I want gossip, and you are making this rather hard to do.
Draco bit his lip to stop from smiling. You might have asked me to the Yule Ball. The gasp Neville released had Draco laughing.
I knew it. Ah, vindication has never been so sweet.
Draco arched the brows as he tilted his head. What are you on about?
You'd have been in this weird thing for a while now, and I'm finally getting the proof.
Thing? Neville waved his hand in an odd gesture, as if Draco was supposed to know what that meant.
Circling each other, the stares, the teasing, the flirting, the stares, the conversations.
You said stares twice. Neville rolled his eyes far too slowly to not be dramatic.
I know. You two have issues.
I think a lot of people have issues. It's human nature.
I think you can bullshit your way out of anything,
Neville returned with a wide grin as Draco glared at him.
Say you are right, Draco began, as he ignored the way Neville perked up.
You think one dance is going to change anything?
Draco, it changes everything.
There was a twinge of desperation in Neville's voice, and it had Draco worried.
Why? I think Harry could be good for you. I'm your friend, and I know you have Dobby.
But that's all you have. It was getting far too uncomfortable as the bitter sting of Neville's words echoed in Draco's mind.
That doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Nor, Neville agreed.
But he likes you.
I like him too. The words barely whispered and far too vulnerable. Neville smiled softly as he placed a hand on the back of Draco's.
I know that. He knows that. The whole bloody school knows that.
Draco withdrew his hand as he ignored the way Neville snickered.
Some friend he was. My father is a right ass that could use a transfiguration into a doxy.
When Draco peered at Neville curiously, Neville shrugged once and said,
My gran says that about Fudge all the time. Seemed like it would fit.
Draco's shoulders shook as he couldn't hold in his laughter.
Be that as it may, he's going to find out.
Neville bit his lip as his posture slumped.
So you turned Harry down?
No, Draco whispered. I said yes. There was no warning before Neville launched forward and wrapped his arms around Draco.
This is a big step. Plan Lucius Gets Owned is underway.
What? Draco shook his head as his arms stayed by his side as Neville smothered him.
What plan is this? Don't worry about it.
Neville wasn't very good at faking nonchalance.
Just something I've been thinking about for a while.
Draco wasn't sure he wanted to ask. Neville could be eccentric at times. When it all goes to shite, will you still be here with me?
You know I will,
Neville promised.
We're best friends, Draco. That's not going to change.
The tension had been slowly mounting evaporated Neville's words, and Draco finally hugged Neville back.
I think I'd be lost without you. Lost? No.
Neville shook his head quickly.
Depressed? Maybe. Bitter? Probably. Less cool? Absolutely.
Draco shoved Neville away as Neville laughed loudly.
Get off me, you prat!
As he watched the genuine happiness on Neville's face, Draco knew that Neville had been right. He might not have been lost if they'd never been friends. But Draco would have missed out on the chance of having someone as wonderful as Neville in his life. Draco walked down the stairs that led to the Great Hall nervously. Many people had asked him who he was going with, but he hadn't wanted to say. Not with any chance it might make it to his father earlier than expected. When Draco found out that Potter was wearing green robes, he charmed his own black and silver robes to entwine with green threads. It wouldn't be noticeable to many, but he hoped Potter would get the significance. Most students were craning their necks to discover who the other champions had bought, so Draco was able to get by without much effort.
Diggory bought Cho,
someone nearby asked in a scathing tone.
Why a Ravenclaw? And her to boot. There are much prettier girls out there.
Sounds like jealousy to me, Draco mumbled, loud enough for a few people to turn to look at him. When a girl with copper hair swung round to glare, her eyes widened at Draco before they narrowed.
No one asked you. I see you don't have a date. Did Parkinson say no? She'd be the only one who'd want to go with you.
Draco wasn't impressed with her tone. If she was going for intimidating, then she was well off the mark. He wasn't sure she looked familiar enough. If someone was that adamant in their dislike, then shouldn't he know them? Before Draco could retort, an arm slid around his waist. By the way the girl's eyes widened, he knew it was Potter.
I'm not Parkinson, but I'm sure I look just as good,
Potter said with a hard edge to his tone that didn't do anything for Draco. It didn't. When her mouth dropped open, Potter looked at her in faux confusion.
Who are you?
The girl hurried away, face red and head bowed.
Are you my aura and shining robes?
A startled laugh escaped Potter.
That's a twist on the saying. I kind of wanted to be your knight. A muggle knight?
Draco mused as other students took notice of the two of them, Potter's hands still around his waist.
Only if I can be a knight too, Draco conceded.
My knight? Potter's eyes were sparkling with mirth, and Draco didn't care that it was at his own expense.
Maybe. I rather like the idea of being my own knight. I'm the hero of my own story.
Potter's taking Malfoy, someone in the crowd whispered. But Draco didn't care, not when Potter smiled at him. When the doors opened and the champions brought their dates forward, Draco knew he'd have to let everything else fade as they took their positions.
I'm not the best dancer, admitted Potter sheepishly. That's all right, Draco whispered.
He waited until Potter smiled gratefully, continuing.
I didn't expect you to be, with your two left feet and all.
Potter's right eye twitched, and it caused Draco to snort.
Don't worry, Potter. I'll be the knight and save you from yourself.
I suddenly feel like I should have gone stag.
The insult fell flat as Potter grinned. Put your arms around my neck, said Draco as he ignored Potter. Potter frowned slightly.
That's not a waltz position, right? We aren't going to waltz.
But McGonagall said it's tradition.
Who cares what she said? The waltz is outdated. We aren't 80-year-old wizards who do nothing but sip on elvish wine and berate the younger generation while they gossip about the days when they could prostrate around and pretend they were Merlin incarnate.
Potter blinked rapidly.
That's rather specific. He shrugged playfully. You've never been to one of my father's charity events. Tradition is archaic in most cases. Besides, you've never wanted to be a champion in the first place. Live a little. Be a rebel. I thought Gryffindors liked to break the mould.
When Potter watched Draco with an intensity he wasn't used to, he wondered if perhaps he had said something wrong. Potter slowly wrapped his arms around Draco's neck and pulled him forward. Their closeness was more than Draco had anticipated, and his breath left him.
You can so be my knight.
Draco laughed loudly before tightening his hold on Potter as the music started. It would never fully count as dancing, but they swayed when they should have, and they were on beat, mostly. But most of their movements were distracted as they locked eyes. Draco wouldn't have it any other way.
Can you believe she took him to the ball?
Weasley spat as soon as Draco and Potter took a break at a nearby table by Patil.
Who?
Potter asked as he craned his head and looked around the room.
Hermione,
Ron said slowly, furrowed brows and frowned present.
She came with Crumb, didn't you see?
Draco and Potter shared a surprised look as they shook their heads.
We didn't notice, Draco said.
How? They dance next to you.
Before Draco could point out that it's rude to notice other dance partners, a new voice interrupted.
That's because they only had eyes for each other,
Neville chimed in with enough of a smug tone that Draco squeezed Potter's hand. When Potter twisted his hand to entwine their fingers, Draco's snappish retort died on his tongue as his cheeks heated. I think it's cute. Draco looked at Weaselet, who'd spoken. He wasn't sure what to make of her. She had a blatant crush on Potter. At least she did years ago. He wasn't sure about her interests now. Draco just hoped that she cared for Neville at least a little bit. Thank you, Draco told her, eyes watching as she smiled before stepping closer to Neville. Are you going to ask me to dance or not? Petill interrupted loudly, causing the rest of them to shift on their feet awkwardly. Weasley shook his head as he glared off into the distance. Petill grunted before she stormed away, shooting Weasley her own look of contempt.
Usually, people dance at these kind of things, Draco drawled, a smirk forming when Weasley flipped him off.
Ron, are you okay? Potter's hesitance had Draco curious. Weasley grunted, as if that was a significant use of language.
She's fraternizing with the enemy.
Enemy?
Draco asked as his brows arched.
Crumb is the enemy. Enemy of what? He's got a unibrow and off-centred feet. I've seen measles with meaner dispositions.
Potter's lips twitched as Weasley's frown seemed to deepen.
I think it's just jealousy, Draco continued, ignoring the warning glances Potter sent his way. If you care so much about her dance partner, you should have asked her to be your date. I do think she would have said yes.
Weasley spluttered inelegantly, causing Draco's nose to wrinkle.
Being friends is a good start, but this jealousy... I'll be careful with what you say to her. I mean, okay.
Potter pulled Draco away as Weasley opened his mouth. Dinner's about to start, and McGonagall has said I have to eat with the other champions. It wasn't until they reached the table did Potter speak.
You shouldn't bait him so much.
It's so easy. Potter attempted to look stern, but Draco could see that he was partially amused. You're lucky. Draco turned to Potter when he stood, curious as to what had stopped him. Potter was searching the tables. What for? Draco wasn't sure. There's a spot right there. Draco nodded towards Weasley's older brother. Yes, but I don't.
Harry!
Elder Weasley called, drawing the attention of several people. Draco never could remember his name. Periwinkle? Parcel? Preston? Something with a P.
I've saved you a seat.
Draco tried to hide his amusement at the way Potter's shoulders slumped, but Potter's glare let him know it hadn't worked. It wasn't until they were seated and the rest of the guests sat down that he realised he should have looked for another seat with Potter. Karkaroff's calculating stare was the first thing to greet him.
Malfoy, I presume.
Draco took a breath as he nodded.
Mr. Karkaroff, my father has told me all about you.
An awkward smile that aimed for being polite was sent his way, but he rather thought it was a grimace.
All good things, I hope.
No.
Potter coughed in a horrible attempt at hiding a laugh. Karkaroff's face froze, grimace falling flat.
Pardon me?
He did, however, mention you had a wonderful track record with endurance.
Endurance?
Karkaroff's eyes narrowed as he frowned.
It would appear that you know how to run, Draco whispered lowly, aware that Weasley was edging closer to them.
Karkaroff paled, eyes wide with something akin to fright.
Now, Draco, best not to be impolite, Severus warned before striking up a conversation with Karkaroff, who looked faint with relief to let the conversation go. It would seem that you bait everyone, Potter whispered.
Draco shrugged as he looked to Potter.
It's a gift. Could be dangerous, Potter contradicted, especially if you bait the wrong person.
Before Draco could respond, Weasley pulled Potter into a boring conversation regarding ministry policies. He could have saved him, but where was the fun in that? As Draco observed the other contestants, he noticed that they all seemed to be absorbed in either the food or their dates. It was a pleasant atmosphere, which tamed the worry that it would all end in disaster. When Potter reached blindly for Draco's hand, he realised that even if things ended in fiendfire, their night would have been worth it. One night might be all they were given, and Draco was going to make the best of it.
Do you want to dance? Draco asked as the tables were cleared and students rushed to the floor.
Potter grimaced slightly, much to his amusement.
I can lead if that would make it better. Potter smiled slightly. I'm not very good at dancing. I think we only did well because we never did the waltz. Would you rather do something else? That had Potter looking around the room, eyes locked onto Weasley and surprisingly Patil. Had they worked out their issues? Maybe we could take a walk. I don't feel like dancing, and if we stay, I know Ron will want to talk about Hermione and Crumb. A walk sounds nice, Draco said, a soft smile in place.
Seeing the castle grounds with someone else changed the outlook on everything. Draco wasn't sure if he'd ever noticed how quaint Hagrid's cottage was before, or whether the Black Lake had ever shone so much. Small things changed next to Potter, and he wasn't sure whether he liked it.
I really like tonight, Potter whispered as they stopped near an ostentatious fountain that Draco's father definitely would buy for no other reason than to put in the guest bathroom. Being with you, I mean. Draco felt his cheeks heat up as he nodded quickly, unable to get the words to form. What was it about Potter that caused such a reaction? I wasn't entirely sure you would say yes, continued Potter. You tend to be intimidating. I tend to be intimidating. What about you? Yeah, but you've got the face thing. What's wrong with my face? Draco asked, knowing it would fluster Potter. Nothing. I didn't mean... Potter glared when Draco snickered. I should have expected that. Draco smiled softly, the smirk he intended to give falling easily. You really should have. They stared at each other. Emotions Draco hoped weren't in his eyes shone in Potter's. Before either spoke, a conversation wafted over, causing them both to freeze. Another what? Madame Maxine's shrill voice had Draco wincing. Another Arfdine, of course, Hagrid said, confusion evident. When Madame Maxine screeched her denial, Draco pulled Harry back and away from where they would cross paths. I should have realised, Draco mumbled more to himself than Potter. My stupidity just thought you'd been on the receiving end of an irreversible enlargement hex. What? Hagrid being a half-giant, Draco prompted. Eyebrow arched when Potter shook his head. You didn't know? Does it matter? Draco scoffed before he realised that Potter was serious. Where was the training? How did Hogwarts expect students without a magical background and no means to fix that compete against those who have no magic all their lives? The school system was a mess, and Draco liked to think it was the government's fault. Not to those who are his friends, but people are prejudiced, Potter. They will take his birth status as a reason to demean him. Being half-giant is looked down upon. Why? The disgusted tone had Draco's lips tilting downward slightly. Normally, I'd say it's just how the world is, but that's a terrible answer. I think part of it is that people are uneducated. They don't realise that they were born with advantages and privileges that others don't have. It's not something that's usually noticed until pointed out. Even if they aren't cruel, they still benefit from those circumstances. Like you did. Draco jerked his head. I'm still learning how to be better. It's not a one-time thing, nor is it enough to be conscious of the system. I have to work every single day at being someone else. Perhaps I'm not the best person to teach you this, considering it hasn't been long for my own reformed thoughts. If you want a true explanation, you'll have to ask Hagrid. Someone who has personally lived through the hatred, the oppression and the prejudice. It's his voice that matters, his experiences, not mine. When Potter regarded him softly, Draco felt uncomfortable. It wasn't often he got to express his thoughts in such a nature. Dobby and Neville were the only ones he talked with freely. Do you think there'll be a fallout from this? Draco shrugged. Only if Hagrid or Madame Maxine tells other people. As they walked back towards the ball, Draco wondered what Regulus thought. He knew his cousin's thoughts on the past war, Muggleborns, Muggles, and even death. But what of magical creatures? Did he hold the belief that they mattered as well? Draco hoped so. Everyone mattered. When they stopped by Weasley to relax, Potter immediately began regaling Weasley of what they heard.
Blimey,
Weasley whispered.
There's nothing wrong with being a half-giant.
I know, Potter said just as quietly. Malfoy told me the same.
Did he know?
Draco looked away when Weasley seemed amused. He wasn't sure what to make of that.
Draco!
There was no time to prepare as his lap was full of a panting Neville.
Where have you been? I've been dancing this whole time.
Get off me, Draco ordered, knowing full well that Neville didn't do anything he didn't want to.
How's your night been?
Draco looked over to see Potter watching them curiously. I've had fun. The arms around his neck tightened as Neville grinned.
That's good, because if I had to see you pine any longer, I was...
Draco shoved Neville to the floor. Get off me, you uncivilized twat.
Oi!
Neville cried as he laughed loudly.
Would it kill you to be gentle? I booze easily.
Good, Draco said, as he held out a hand to pull Neville up. Might make you rethink what you say. They shared a look before grinning. They knew neither one of them were into censoring their thoughts. Did you have fun? Draco wondered as Neville sat on his other side, and he looked around for Weasley's sister.
I did. Ginny's talking to a few friends.
Neville pointed towards a few Ravenclaws. That's good, Draco whispered, as he placed his head on Neville's shoulder. You deserve to be happy.
They have a strange friendship,
Weasley whispered, voice loud enough to carry. Neville and Draco snorted softly, neither refuting the statement. Draco reached out a hand to entwine his fingers with Potter. That was a finishing touch to a wonderful night. A night Draco would always remember. The Great Hall broke out in whispers when a howler landed in front of Draco. He knew who had sent it, knew that word had gotten back to his father about the ball. 2 days had been far more generous than Draco would have thought. He took a deep breath before he ripped the envelope in half. It had been a long shot, but it was better than allowing his father's yells to reverberate around the room. The howler multiplied into 3, and they all began smoking. In Draco's panic, he threw them on the floor and set a bombardo at them. Chaos erupted as his fellow Slytherins ran as the noise of the walls shaking, some rubble falling onto the table and into the food. McGonagall gave him a week's worth of detention, but it was worth it. Anything was worth not having to listen to his father. It was a short-term fix, Draco knew that, but he couldn't help feeling accomplished. As he sat down, determined to pretend nothing was amiss, Draco felt eyes on him. It was Potter. He didn't have to look up to know that, but it wasn't an instance where he wanted to share. Potter liked to fix things, save people, and generally make things worse in the hopes of making it better. Draco couldn't be fixed, couldn't be saved, and nothing could ever make his father better. Potter would have to be someone else's knight. When Potter jumped into the lake with 0 signs of any magic, Draco knew that his heart would never be the same. What just happened? Draco asked as he clutched Neville's arm and stared unseeingly into the lake, silently demanding answers from the murky water. There are only a few rare spells that show no trace. I doubt he knew those.
I'm not sure.
Neville was watching the spot Potter disappeared from with a frown.
There are many plants that have magical affinities that could help.
They looked at each other before they both groaned. Gillyweed, they said in unison as Draco slapped his forehead. That won't last long, Draco pointed out, eyes still searching the water.
Long enough.
If only Draco was as confident as Neville. Moral fiber. Draco was positive any Potter would have been able to pull that off. He watched as the champions were applauded and congratulated. Part of him wanted to go up there and offer Potter his own congratulations, but Draco wasn't sure it was the proper time.
You going to say anything?
Neville nudged Draco in the shoulder as they began walking back to the castle. No, I don't think I will, whispered Draco as he tried not to look at Potter as they passed.
I thought we were past this.
Past what? Denial, such a beautiful concept. Neville sighed too heavily to not be theatrical.
What happened? You were happy at the dance.
Draco knew he could brush it off, push Neville away until the subject was dropped. But he didn't want to. Didn't want to push away his only friend. I was, Draco admitted, not taking his eyes off the trail. But I went into it wanting one night. Just one night that I could remember and hold on to.
And?
And I want more. I want more than one night. That's something I can't ask of him.
Why not?
Neville seemed so put out, and the thought had Draco smiling. Nev, you saw what my father sent. He knows I went with Potter, and if I don't have a legitimate excuse over the summer, then I'm fucked.
You can stay with me.
Draco stilled, everything else forgotten as he turned to peer at Neville incredulously.
Gran, she's not the nicest, but she's not... Well, she's not your father.
Neville winced before fiddling with his robes.
She knows we're friends, and while she's not thrilled with the idea, she noticed how good you are for me, and you know you are.
Draco felt his heart shatter and grow bigger at the same time. Neville, you never needed me. It was the other way round.
I'd like to think we needed each other.
That Draco could get behind. He poured Neville into a tight hug. Thank you. I don't think I can accept it just yet. He bit his lip as he realised that he might just one day need to accept the offer. While he didn't think his father would harm him much, it could get worse over time, especially when his path was made clear.
It's not a one-time thing,
Neville whispered as he held on to Draco just as tight.
You're always welcome, Draco. Always.
Draco wasn't sure what his life would have been like without Neville. Wasn't sure he'd been able to cope with everything else without him. I love you, Draco whispered, uncaring how vulnerable the admittance was. You are my best friend, and I don't. He cut off, eyes closing as he wondered how he could have gotten lucky enough to have Neville.
I love you too, you dramatic dork.
And the moment is ruined. Draco pushed Neville away, unable to completely get rid of his watery smile. Neville grinned widely as he extended his bent arm and allowed Draco to loop his own.
Come on, let's go find some trouble to get into while we wait for your champion to get back.
He's not my champion, Draco mumbled, but he didn't refute the plan. Not yet, but he could be. You just got to not sneer at him and probably compliment him at some point too. Have you met me, Neville? I don't know how to do either of those things. The sound of Neville's happy laughter was enough to turn Draco's somber mood into something softer. It's a good thing he likes you as you are, then. Neville waggled his brows, and for the millionth time in his life, Draco was entirely grateful to have Neville at all. Maybe, said Draco. But more importantly, he liked himself as he was too. Been busy, have you? Draco asked as he was assigned to work with Granger during the arithmancy. Granger arched a brow as she pulled out her homework. How so? According to the papers, you've got Potter, Crumb, and Weasley wrapped around your fingers. Granger glared darkly, and Draco couldn't help but snort loudly. If you were believing anything that the... When she looked up and could see that he wasn't serious, she huffed. Why do you do that? It's fun. More annoying than anything, Granger argued as Professor Vector put up their assignment. I like to think I own it. I like to think you're full of yourself. Perhaps, Draco conceded, smirk showing his enjoyment of the whole thing. Baiting Granger was different than baiting Potter or even Weasley. Her level of done was always worth it to push. As Draco began to work on his half of the problem, he stopped paying attention to Granger, which was a mistake. You know, Harry talks about you. Draco's grip on his wand slipped, and he cinched the edge of Finnegan's desk. Not that anyone would look twice. It was Finnegan, after all. When Draco glared and his entire being seethed, he noticed how amused Granger was. I wasn't expecting that, she remarked a bit hesitantly. But a change is nothing. What? Draco cleared his throat. What does he say? He winced when she sent him a triumphant look. Why should I tell you? What is it you want? Draco narrowed his eyes as he debated whether to play into her obviously demented ways. I want you to not hurt him. It was whispered so softly, and Draco swallowed audibly. That's all I want, Malfoy. He didn't have a good upbringing. Something I think he can relate to. Harry, he's reckless and goes into things without thinking it through, but he's determined to see the best in you. She paused to stare at Draco intently, eyes pleading. For what? He wasn't sure. Don't let him down. Please. And don't hurt him. I can't help his living situation. I can't protect him from the media. I can't save him from his own reputation. I can't even do anything to save his heart from heartbreak. Granger sighed before continuing. But I can appeal to his heart. I can try and ease the pain. And I can be there for him through all of it.
Are you implying that I am his heart?
When she said nothing and only continued to stare, Draco shook his head.
We went to a ball together, Granger. One. It was great, but it wasn't life-changing. Nothing we have done could have made me his heart.
Lie to yourself, and even to your friends, but don't lie to me. Granger lifted her nose in the air haughtily, and Draco had to restrain the urge to hex her. If you aren't his heart now, then you will be, she continued, uncaring of his glare. I'm just asking you to not hurt him.
I don't know if I can, Draco answered honestly. He looked away when she frowned. Potter? He's something I've never planned for. My life has been crumbling for a while. And then Potter came in with his subtle jabs and our lakeside conversations as if he belonged there. I've never known what I wanted when it came to him. Never really thought about it until it was right in my face.
Draco clenched his quill tightly as he tried to pretend he was still working.
And then the possibilities were there. I see him now, and part of me hates it.
He closed his eyes, as he hated being so open to someone he wasn't sure he could trust. But she was Potter's friend, and that mattered.
You must know that he doesn't fit into the vision of my future. Well,
he corrected when Granger opened her mouth angrily.
The vision my father sees. Potter is this beacon. He's bright and alluring. We all need light at some point. But my father doesn't see it that way. He's in the business of destroying other people's light, you see. The analogy was awful, but it was the best he could do, as saying the actual words wouldn't be wise. It's one thing for my father to take my own light, but it's an entirely different thing for him to quash Potter's.
The anger melted in Granger's eyes, and concern took over. Something Draco wasn't interested in.
You want to protect him. I get that. I do. I want the same thing. And that might mean he's the safest away from me. Heartbreak is nothing as long as you are alive.
Malfoy.
Granger trailed off, face shuttered in a sadness Draco didn't want to see. It's nothing, Granger. His voice was harsher than intended, but it served its purpose as they went back to their assignment, and nothing was said again for the rest of the lesson.
Draco was walking past the shops in Hogsmeade, not really paying attention to his surroundings. Never had attention with Snape, and that left Eva waiting around pathetically for him, or to go to Hogsmeade alone. As the bitter sting of the air hit his cheeks, Draco rather wished he'd stayed inside. When the road ended, he looked around curiously. He'd never gone too deep into the village before. A small apothecary that had seen better days was on the outskirts, and it drew his attention. The old sign with most of its letters peeled off gave the place character. He didn't expect it to be the best shop out there, but it would at least be a warm place to stay. It wasn't until he reached the building did he realize he was being watched. Draco noticed familiar green eyes, and that had him relaxing. At least until he was shoved up against the wall.
Potter! Who says you get to decide what's best for me?
Draco closed his eyes as he slumped forward.
I see you've talked to Granger. You could have talked to me, you know. I was going to.
When Potter arched his brows, Draco hastily continued,
eventually.
Potter searched Draco's eyes, anger making them harsh.
Malfoy, it's just...
They stared at each other, unsure who was to speak.
I'm not a sure thing. Draco spoke up when Potter stayed quiet. I have no idea what I'm doing. I should be spending my time having fun and just living. But I'm so worried about my future and my father that I feel as if I skipped my entire childhood. Potter lowered his hands from Draco's shoulders, but didn't step back. There's still so much that's undecided, and I can't ask you to wait for me to figure it out. Who said you'd be the one asking? Draco tilted his head to the side, confused as to what Potter was talking about. You think you're the only one who has no clue what's in store in life? I'm in a tournament against my will because someone wants me dead. The blunt truth stilled Draco. I don't know my own life either. I don't know anything. Then why? Draco shook his head. Why was Potter mad if he felt the same? I want to wait, Malfoy. I want to think that outside of the uncertainty, that you'll be there. You can't ask that of me. Potter looked to the ground. I know, and I'm not saying I will. I just... He bit his lip before looking up at Draco, eyes hesitant. I like you, Potter whispered. Voice quiet, but the sincerity had Draco's heart skipping a beat. Before Draco could decide to parrot the sentiment, Potter shook his head. I want to think that I can figure things out and have you in the sidelines, but that's not fair to either of us. It doesn't stop the want. I don't want to wait, Draco blurted without thinking. I wish I didn't have to wait. That I could have puppy love, or my first heartbreak, or my first relationship. But Merlin knows I'm not ready. Emotionally or realistically. I'm 14 and scared of the future. It's not the life I would have chosen for myself, but it's the one I have. One of Potter's best qualities was that he understood. Even when it was out of his comfort zone, he still understood. It's not fair, Potter sighed as he clenched a fist. Why can't we just be kids? We summoned the short thread. Potter's brows burrowed before he laughed, somewhat wetly. Is that like drawing the shorter stick? Why would we... Draco shook his head. It was best left unsaid. It was no doubt something Muggle. Fate hates us, Draco offered instead. Maybe it's destiny or even karma. Well, fuck them. Draco's lips twitched, the action drawing Potter's attention. Malfoy, can I kiss you? His breath left him suddenly, and Draco's mouth parted in surprise. But what about what we just talked about? Potter smiled sadly. I haven't forgotten. I just want this one thing. I don't know when I'll ever get to just experience things like other people. I don't know when I'll be comfortable or ready for someone else. And I know in a perfect world, we would wait for each other. Potter looked away, eyes blinking rapidly. But the situation is far from perfect. I just want something. Proof of what we have to give up. Proof that it matters. That maybe if we can figure out everything else, that we can have this. I don't know... Kiss me, said Draco. Silence settled briefly before Potter stepped closer and cupped Draco's cheeks. Draco couldn't help but nudge the hands, eyes closing in anticipation. As far as first kisses went, Draco had nothing to compare it to. But when Potter's lips touched his own, he might have gasped, or maybe it was a sigh, possibly awe in his head. Warmth. When all he had known in life was bitter cold, the contrast stood out to him. Potter was a warmth Draco had never had, nor was he sure he could keep. But as their lips moved, Draco knew he would remember it, would always remember how it felt to have Potter in such a way, however brief it was. Draco's eyes opened when they separated. Seeing Potter so close only had him shaking his head. No, I'm going to need more. He pulled Potter back to him. Restrictions had never been something Draco could listen well to, not when part of him always ached to fight back. Limiting it to one kiss would never do. Not after knowing what kissing Potter felt like. Their second kiss was more smiles than anything, but Draco didn't care. It was the little things that made the difference. I thought it was just one kiss, Potter mumbled against Draco's lips. So did I. Draco had to force himself to push Potter away when all he wanted to do was hold on and pretend it was all right, that they could continue on. They stared at each other, and Draco hoped Potter could understand the words that he wasn't voicing. So much to be said, so much needed to be brought up, but as always, Potter understood. Potter raised a hand to cup Draco's cheek. I'll see you around, Malfoy.
Goodbye, Harry. Draco could tell that Potter's steps had stilled, but he forced himself to enter the apothecary without a backward glance. As he browsed the shelves, eyes unseeing and a heavy heart, Draco wondered why he felt like he was losing something he'd never had. Could a heart break if the emotions were stunted to begin with?
The gloom of the weather should have been welcomed. Draco always did love overcast days, but something wasn't right. Something didn't sit well with him when it came to the morning of the third task. He glanced at the Gryffindor tables. He wondered how Potter was feeling. Would he be relieved that it was almost over? Nervous that whoever entered his name would make an appearance? Or was he finally enjoying the tasks? Potter stared morosely at the food before him, and Draco got the impression that he wasn't really aware of his surroundings. Draco closed his eyes and slightly prayed that fate would cease fucking with Potter, even for just the day. Maybe he was overthinking things. Everything would be all right. It was the last task anyway. Everything was fine. Great, even. Potter would be safe. He had to be. Chaos ensued when Potter returned with the triwizard cup in one hand and the other clutching a dead body. Diggory's dead body.
Diggory is dead!
Several people screamed. Some stood up to run closer while others tried to leave. Rushed feet and loud noises could be heard, but Draco's attention was centred on Potter. Something had happened. Something bad. Something traumatising. Without the facts or the knowledge, Draco had nothing to go off on. Nothing to shed light on. But he had a feeling it wasn't a byproduct of the tournament. Sure, people had died in the past tournaments, but Diggory's body looked fine. There were normal marks of a contestant. Scratches and cuts, but otherwise the body was preserved. That meant only one thing. Before Draco could decide whether the urge to run was towards Potter or away from him, Dumbledore obstructed his view by standing in front of Potter.
Diggory's dead!
He wished they'd stop saying that. The screams receded and the heavy crying took over as the reality of the situation sunk in. As the teachers and prefects began ushering students away, Draco looked to the spot Potter had been at. Diggory's dead. Draco wasn't sure if that was someone else, or if his mind repeated the words over and over again. Draco ran past several students as he made his way towards Dumbledore's office. It was the only logical place Potter could be at. With Severus nowhere in sight, the prefects were embarrassingly easy to escape from. When he paused in front of the gargoyle, he would like to have said it was because he had no way of getting in, which was true, but mainly it was because there was a dog sitting at the entrance, growling lowly. The dog's fur was matted in some spots. He was underfed, exhausted, and looked like it was on its last legs. Draco ignored the growling as he held out his hands, hoping the dog would smell him before deciding to attack or not. I'm not going to hurt you. The growling didn't cease, but it got quieter as Draco approached. He didn't pet the dog, no matter how tempting it was. He kept his hands where the animal could see them as he knelt on the floor. You're quite a handsome dog. The lull and the growling would have been comical if it was anything other than a coincidence. You are kind of mattered, though. I wonder if you'll let me fix that. He kept talking, hoping to soothe the dog as he kept his voice quiet and calm. Draco slowly pulled out his wand, aware of how the hairs on the dog's neck and back rose. He wondered if the poor thing had been abused by a previous owner. When no growling commenced, Draco unmatted the knots of fur with magic and placed cleaning charms on the dog as well. There you are. Draco smiled as the dog shook his fur. I told you that you were handsome. The dog looked at Draco before slowly inching forward to sniff his hands. I've never had a pet before, said Draco as he continued to kneel, but settled more on the back of his legs. My father's a prick, you see. A noise left the dog, but he wasn't sure what it was. There was a bunny once, Draco recalled as he tentatively began petting the dog's head.
It wasn't a magical animal, but I found it on the border of the manor's perimeter. I wanted to keep her. She was a little thing, barely as big as your head. The dog nuzzled Draco's hand, and he couldn't help but smile. My father said no. Not a surprise, really, but I kept pushing. I knew better, knew exactly what happens when he loses his temper. The dog stilled, and it allowed Draco's hand to reach further. The bunny didn't survive. Draco blinked rapidly, unsure of why he was speaking to the animal at all. It wasn't like the dog could talk back. Was he really that desperate for a conversation? I never asked for a pet again, Draco concluded. Horrible walk down memory lane. Depressing, actually, but it seemed to fit the mood. When the dog whined, Draco thought perhaps he was too rough with the pressure of his fingers. Sorry, he apologised and made an effort to touch lighter. I'm worried, Draco admitted, unable to stop talking. Worried about Potter. Worried about Diggory's parents. Worried about what happened. And worried about going back home. Draco smiled when the dog licked his hand once. I'm also worried about my mental health. I'm talking to a dog about my troubles. He let out a hysterical laugh at the whole situation. But it's not like you can tell anyone. Maybe that makes you the perfect secret keeper. He sighed before looking to the gargoyle. I hope Potter is okay. He bit his lip as he debated about whether to admit what he was worried about the most. Does it make me a bad person to be grateful that it wasn't Potter that died? The dog lay down and placed his head on Draco's knee. If it had been reversed and Diggory came back alive, but Potter was dead. Draco's voice cracked, unable to continue the thought. It's cool to be happy that Potter's alive, right? Diggory's death isn't something to be grateful for. Thinking like this isn't normal. I shouldn't be so relieved. Draco took his hand off the dog to clench it in his robes. I don't know what would happen if he died, Draco admitted reluctantly. Even when I was questioning everything, his presence was just a given. Potter was always this unobtainable light. A figurehead of stupid morality and horrible hair. He paused when the dog huffed against his leg. Even if he was losing his sanity by carrying out a conversation with the dog, at least it was entertaining. But his position was so fixed. Everyone knows Potter is good. Everyone knows his situation and that he's against everything that people like my father stand for. Having him as the moral option and having my father's example of what I don't want, it was helpful. It was a guide of sorts. But I never stopped to think of what could happen if that guide was gone. Draco closed his eyes, but opened them immediately when all he could see was Diggory's dead body. If you take away the good, then what's to happen when you oppose the bad? The silence of the corridor was Draco's own answer. Regulus would be disappointed in me. The dog's head snapped up so suddenly that Draco jumped slightly and turned his head, expecting to see someone in the hall. When he looked back at the dog, brows furrowed. He jumped again at the way the dog's fur was raised. Easy. Whatever spooked you isn't there. It's just us. The dog didn't calm down, but that wasn't a surprise. Draco didn't hold faith in his calming abilities. That was Neville's area of expertise. Draco ignored the way the dog didn't settle back down and pretended it wasn't strange. I shouldn't care whether Potter remains fixed in his position. My ability to be good isn't dependent on someone else. And I should do it for me. He smiled as he thought to all of Regulus's letters and repeated emphasis on being who he wanted to be. That's something he taught me, Regulus, I mean. To be who I want and let it be enough. That if I want to change, to do it for myself and not for my father. Draco sighed as the simplicity of the words didn't mesh with the complex reality. I suppose I lost sight of that for a while, but I've been changing myself for so long, trying so hard to be someone else. Someone that I could be proud of, and I don't think I'm there yet, but I'm still trying, and that's enough, right? The silence spurred Draco along. It was more comforting than before. I'll reach who I want to be someday, and that's not something that has to run parallel to Potter.
Whether he's around to be the light figure or not won't affect my decisions. I'm going to be the best person I can, and I'm going to do it for me. When the dog lay back down, head on Draco's knee, he pretended that was in support of his words. Draco fell silent as the words left him. Talking to the dog had been therapeutic in a way. He was no longer afraid of the silence in his mind, and perhaps it was best to stop talking to animals that couldn't talk back. The sounds of footsteps caused both Draco and the dog to tense up. Draco stood up as Dumbledore and Potter rounded the corner. He was confused as to where they could have been, but that didn't matter, not when he could see how exhausted Potter was. The cuts, blood and pain radiating off of Potter was hard to look at.
Malfoy.
Draco wasn't sure if his presence would have been appreciated, but that flew from his mind as Potter ran forward and pulled him into a hug. Potter. Draco breathed into Potter's neck. I was so worried about you. Potter paused before changing the direction of his statement. I'm not okay. Draco held on tighter, unsure of what to say to make any of it all right. Dumbledore cleared his throat, but Draco refused to let go of Potter as he turned his head to the side. I'll give you both a few minutes. Blue eyes regarded Draco closely, but he'd never been able to read Dumbledore very well. He waited until Dumbledore was gone before he looked back to Potter. I'm not going to pester you, Draco promised. He wanted to know what happened, but he would be all right without the answers right away. Potter's mental health was more important than his curiosity. Voldemort's back. Draco's eyes closed, and a whimper escaped. He had figured that would happen, prepared for it since Regulus's second letter. The time to choose a path was approaching, and Draco already knew which one he would take. He just wished it was easier. Your father. Potter trailed off, voice hesitant. My father's probably already in servitude again. Potter's silence had Draco sighing heavily. I'm not even surprised. He was there. Draco wasn't sure where there was, but Potter's face was twisted in pain, and that had him opening his mouth to apologize. Don't. Potter pleaded. A hand moved to cover his mouth. Don't say sorry. You aren't responsible for his actions. Feels like I should be sometimes. Potter removed his hand as he moved closer, their foreheads touching. I fought Voldemort. The sudden change in conversation was welcome but terrifying. You always were stupidly reckless. Yeah. Potter agreed, voice flat in agreement. But it worked, for the most part. I wish you were different, Draco began, eyes unable to stop staring at Potter. That you didn't have to face what you do. The sad smile Potter sent him had his heart breaking. It was so resigned. A bark had Potter's jumping in surprise. Sit Snuffles! Draco watched Potter kneel down and throw his arms around the dog's neck. Is this your dog? You could say that. He's a good listener. Potter turned back to Draco, eyes blinking rapidly and amusement briefly taking over the grief on his face. Is that so? Draco shrugged once, unsure of why he felt like he was missing an inside joke. He's well behaved, Draco continued, suddenly uncomfortable. Handsome dog, too. Potter laughed. Don't say that. He's so full of himself already. Before Draco could tell Potter that he was being weird, Potter stood up and looked towards Dumbledore's office. If I go in there, it's all real. The dichotomy struck Draco more so than anything else. But if you stay out here, you'll get complacent in denial. I hate when you're right. I'm always right. Potter's expression didn't waver, but he did reach out a hand and squeeze Draco's. Just don't lose sight of what you want. None of this is what I wanted. I know that. Draco rolled his eyes as he stepped closer to Potter. The circumstance is out of your hands. But that doesn't mean what you do from here is no longer your decision. What are you saying?
I'm saying that whatever you do from now on, make sure it's at your pace and at your whim. Dumbledore is... Draco grimaced as he tried to refrain from being judgmental. He's pretty rigid in his beliefs, probably a side effect of being old.
Potter snorted, but seemed interested in what he was saying, so Draco continued. Don't let her make your decisions for you. You have a right to do whatever you want. You could turn away and never walk in there. We both know you won't, but you could, and that choice matters. Thank you, Potter whispered as he cupped Draco's cheek. I tend to forget that I have a choice, even when I'm forced into this. I still have a choice in how I go about it. Draco nodded, pleased that Potter understood what he meant. I think you should take your own advice. Draco huffed, pleasure replaced by annoyance. He rolled his eyes, hoping that was enough to convey his emotions. By the way Potter grinned, he didn't think it went over well.
I have a few more days of denial ahead of me, whispered Draco as he held Potter's hand to his cheek, unwilling to let the comfort leave.
I wish you didn't have to go back there. Potter's voice was just as quiet. We both have been pushed in directions we don't want, said Draco with a shrug. Just be careful, Potter stressed. I always am. When Potter's other hand raised to cup his other cheek, Draco knew where it would lead. It was a bad idea, he knew that, but couldn't help but nod in agreement to the silent question in Potter's eyes. The wait in between breaths was too much for Draco. He moved closer, head tilting, and pressed his lips against Potter's. It hadn't been long since their last kiss, but it was new in a sense that they were new, not new people, but new in the knowledge of what they had to do. Draco felt grounded as the kiss deepened and his emotions exploded. Kissing Potter was something he wouldn't give up, couldn't give up, at least until a bark separated them. Potter glared down at Snuffles. Horrible name. Draco felt bad for the poor dog. You should go, Draco whispered, eyes on Potter's lips. I should, but I don't want to.
Potter pecked Draco once, as if that would be enough. It would never be enough, but he restrained himself from asking for more.
I can leave, Draco offered, knowing that sometimes it was easier if someone forced your hand. Potter nodded as he took a step back and straightened up. As Draco walked by, he stopped to kiss Potter's cheek. Goodbye, Potter. He made sure to pet Snuffles one last time. Bye, Draco. It was hard to not turn around, but Draco knew that if he did, he would hide his worries in more touches of Potter, and that wouldn't help anything in the end. So Draco kept walking, kept his head high and his heart erratic as he walked away.
You've been listening to Dear Cousin, Love Regulus, written by XX the Dark Lord, XX, and read by Reverie Pye.